It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so here we are, off and running for this ostensibly prayer meeting Wednesday, the 30th day of September, 2020. The deacons are all but immobile now after months and months and months of not getting even the bare minimum amount of exercise that they got by moving among the pews and passing those heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates. Because, well, the cathedral is still closed. And frankly, after last night's, I don't even know what to call it, shit show. I mean, yeah, okay, shit show on steroids. Yeah, that works too. I'll get to it all in just a minute. Hi, I'm Bob, and like I said, it's the 30th day of September 2020. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us. On the interweb tubes, and if you're listening on some other means, let me simply say that listening via headon.live is the easiest, simplest, and most reliable way to get the live program, and it's also the best place to go to get the podcast. Also, whiterosesociety.org for the podcast, and for the live stream as well. It's just that sometimes there are a few problems associated with that. Nonetheless, here we are. Finishing off the month of September, and what do you say about last night? And I'm speaking, of course, about the what do you call it, the Skeven in Cleveland. I've been trying to come up with a catchy name all day long, and it's just not happening. But regardless, there it is, and there you have it. And so here in a little bit, Sparky contacted me and suggested a prayer meeting Wednesday on the front porch for a big debrief of last night's proceedings. And I think that's a fine idea. So Sparky generated a link to the Skype chat room and to the Skype call, for all intents and purposes. And transmitted that to Brother Deacon Asa, who put it up at headon.live. It's there at the top of the page. If you'd like to be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that will take place this evening to discuss whatever it is we're going to call that thing that happened last night, well, just go to headon.live, click the button. It'll carry you over the river and through the woods and into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Skeebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And over which Sparky presides. If you would like to further augment your live listening experience, of course, as with any other program, you can also click on chat room at headon.live. And if you've never been there before, you will be, well, I think you'll enjoy yourself, but whether you have or haven't, when you pop in, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Dowhead and Otto DeShot and Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, September may be ending, but the heat in the man cave isn't. So even though he's a third stage guild navigator, Sparky is not folding space today. Sparky is, of course, capably assisted by a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. All told, it should be a merry time this evening, or at least I hope it is. Pop on in and enjoy yourself, and then here in about 55 minutes or so, we'll check in the old holler tree and see what happens conversation-wise. Jump on in. I guarantee you the conversation will be fine. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, however, and this program is no different. And so consequently, this day, when we have no PayPal subscribers, the last day of the month, we reserve to thank our Patreon subscribers. So thank you very kindly to Rico and DeBerg, and thank you to Misconduct, and thank you to Katie. And thank you to John. Thank you to Mark, Uncle Smokey. Thank you to Jake. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you to Prince. Thank you to Bernadette. Thanks, Irwin, there in Montana. Thank you to Kay. Thank you to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you to Ed. And thank you to Dave. Thank you, John. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Oak. Thanks to Dave number 11. Thank you, Mark. Thank you to Michael of the Guffins. Thank you to Baltimore Bob. Thanks, Brock. Thanks to Jeff in SLO. Thanks, James. Thanks, Kay. Thanks, Andrea. Thank you, James. Thank you to Joey and Giraffe. Thank you to Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thanks go out to Lori and to Alex, to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you to Joyce. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Glenn and to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, John. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you, Alec. Thank you to the Nubian. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Irwin. And thanks as well to Steve in New York, to Barb. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. That's Robin with a Y. Thank you to John, to Terrace out in California. Thank you to Frank, otherwise known as Fab. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, and thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Those are the merry little band of Patreon subscribers who help keep this program on the air month to month. Thank you so very kindly indeed. And if you'd like to jump in with the Patreon gang, well, that means you'll be charged at the same time every month on the first of the month. So thanks again for that. All right, then. All that the housekeeping having been taken care of, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation. I very much am. I'm looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have in regard to last night's madness. There's really no other word to describe it. I don't think I was surprised. Well, I know I wasn't surprised. I'm just grateful. For once, I'm grateful for the fact that I was engaged in the business of being Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver. Because, as I noted on social media earlier today, if I'd actually been sitting somewhere watching a telescreen and seeing it happen as opposed to simply listening to it on the radio and operating a dangerous instrumentality, otherwise known as an automobile, I might be sitting here puffing away on a cigarette right now. As it is, I'm still a non-smoker. This is day 16. And last night was tough, even just driving without watching. I had no urge to play a drinking game, although I'll note that, yes, it did happen. Excuse me. And I would have paid good money for Joe Biden to say, what, did you crap your pants again? Because you've seen the photo of him on the golf course with the, well, let's just call it that posterior racing stripe, shall we? Yeah, that's a shot across the bow at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, isn't it? But he did it, and he did a lot of the other things that we predicted that he would. It was not entered into in good faith. And Chris Wallace, I know there have been some people out there giving Chris Wallace some slack, but the fact of the matter was, Chris Wallace was there for a reason. There's a reason a guy was there as opposed to a woman, a female moderator. And Chris Wallace was about as useless as tits on a tree. Or, I don't know, pedals on a bull. Or a screen door on a submarine. Or a kickstand on a tank. But the thing that... And by the way, Steve in New York says... puffing on a cigarette? Hell, you'd be on a nicotine drip. I know. Believe me, I reached for a couple of pouches and that refreshing burst of flavor along the way. I was tired anyway and had to manage to stay awake until I could pick up the boy and bring him home tonight. As quick as the program's over, I get to jump in the car and take him to work because they've decided it would be really fun for him to work the overnight shift. I know. How many Law and Order dum-dums happened, asks Ralps. I started counting, but I lost count.
You can't say Law and Order. You can't say it because you lose your radical left base.
Right. Yeah, I know. And see, you can't say Law and Order is just a repurposing, a rebranding, if you will, of,
you know, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, Barack Obama, who spied on my campaign. He can't say radical Islamic terrorism, because if he did, he'd lose his radical Islamic base, because he's a Muslim, a Kenyan Muslim usurper, and we all know it, and he wasn't born here.
And don't think for a minute that the maggots don't hear this stuff and realize that it is a rebranding, a repurposing. You know, they said that Rudy Giuliani and Chris Krispy Kreme, or Christie, were his debate coaches. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty clear to me that in terms of preparing for the debate, that it involved... throwing a box of Krispy Kremes to Chris Christie and a bottle of a full 1.7 liter, 18.75 liter Nebuchadnezzar of old Panther piss to Rudy Giuliani in a swirly straw and just saying, let him go. He's on a roll. Because he was in no wise prepared for anything last night except to interrupt and throw tantrums. And heave insults. And really, I give considerable amounts of credit to Joe Biden for not taking the bait. Because as someone said on my timeline earlier today, if he'd insulted my veteran sons, we would have had to go to commercial break. And there would have been only one person standing on the stage after it was all over. Yeah. Steve in New York adds, the shit show, shame show, I listened to some of it, I didn't watch. It was a shit show, yes, it was a shame show, because we as Americans should be ashamed and embarrassed. It's going to be a cold day in Hades before anyone around the world takes us seriously. Why is that important more than just what they think of us? As I've said many, many times, as we deal with challenges and disasters as a nation, yes, COVID is on that level. The world will just not lend any assistance if we need it. We do right now. It's just that the death yam is too much of a fucking nutball to ask. On the other hand, I can see the EU in particular sending us all the tots and pears it can spare. Sure. And of course, today, the for-profit media was positively alight with what was determined to be the signal moment from that embarrassing clown show. And that was his refusal to condemn white nationalism, white supremacy.
Sure, you'd have to tell me who they are. But everything I see is coming from the left. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa.
And even Chris Wallace didn't take the bait on that one. It's not an organization, it's an idea. But the best line from the whole thing that was largely overlooked, and it's a shame, too, because it was obviously deployed for a purpose in the discussion of the wreckage that COVID-19 has left of our nation. At one point, Joe Biden looked at Nitwit Nero, turned his words sideways, and jammed them down his filthy orange throat. Biden, speaking of COVID, said, "It is what it is because you are what you are." Oof. That should have knocked the wind out of him, but it was just blown past. And more's the pity. Hey, what's that? Matt in San Francisco. Reading is fundamental. Matt informs us, and remember, Matt is the Horns official drag queen den mother. In drag queen circles, when one grows tired of another queen rambling on about something, you simply turn and say, "Go brush your hair, bitch." If only Joe Biden had had a queen in his corner. Oh, God, yes, yes, yes. Especially given the vanity that he attaches to his hair, being how it costs $70,000 a year to maintain that mop. Go brush your hair, bitch. Ooh. Wait a minute. That's a whopping big cowbell for Matt in San Francisco. Yes, it is. Oh, I know. I know. So, let's check in a couple of other notes. Law and Order, Lee in New York, says, "Trump thinks Biden cannot say law and order because it's trademarked." Okay. That's a minor jingle. That's good. That's good. Renee in D.C., the 45 debate, B-A-I-T. 45 kept baiting Biden. On the other hand, Nitwit Nero can't say Sieg Heil without losing everyone opposed to Nazis. Ah, yes. And that's what it boiled down to.
You can't say law and order.
But at the very end, when Chris Wallace did drop that one on him, and then finished it with, "Well, this debate is over." It turned out that the candidate who couldn't say something was, of course, Julius Geezer, who couldn't say, "I denounce white supremacy. I denounce white nationalism. I denounce the Klan." The closest he got was,
"Sure."
And most people hardly even heard that because it was just a mumble. Let's get ready to mumble! Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what's that, sir? Right. He couldn't denounce white supremacists. The most he could say of the Proud Boys, and now today, as in the aftermath, said, well, you know, we won. We got some great reviews. I have no idea who the Proud Boys are. I've never heard of them. What? Who? Yeah. I don't know who these Proud Boys are. Yeah, sure. But he was the one who couldn't say something. For good reason. Leah, New York, go brush your hair, bitch. Trump's hair would break, not bend. The brush would scream in pain. Well, that's just a sacrifice the brush would have to make. Lou, noting, I noticed I gave a very small amount of money to the Biden effort when the message came under the name of Jimmy Carter, and yes, I've since been resolicited via his, Carter's, name. My imperfect memory has it that I have received requests for money under Hillary's name, too, but I haven't received any requests for money under Bill Clinton's name. You likely won't. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, I thought Uncle Joe showed up, Donald the Duck LaRange. The duck wasn't orange, he was red. I'll be surprised if the a l'orange debates again. And while I was on the road, of course, Agnes was back here screenshotting for all she was worth, and she showed them to me when I got back, and she said, look, he's not orange tonight. He's red, verging on purple. Last night, they did indeed stoke the stroke. And I think he did get pretty close to tearing his clothes off and running around the stage playing with himself. Because, among other things, he was Adderall'd to the gills. And the mere fact that he accused Joe Biden of using it meant that he was going to show up with a snootful. Will he debate again? The one thing that people came away, and I started watching with my filthy morning habit this morning, and there were Mika and Joe saying, why didn't they cut his mic? All they had to do was cut his mic. And you know when that pair is asking that question, that it's become, that the idea has become really obvious. Because that's the answer. What you do, and I know this just from running a radio program that involves talk. And particularly back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio when I would have to put up with right-wing shitbirds, which we no longer do here. When they started screaming and screeching, I would just look at my producer and, you know, give him the signal. And he would pot the caller down, mute them. And I would say, caller, clearly you're having a mental health moment, and you're shrieking and hollering and carrying on. So when you can carry on a civil conversation like a relatively normal human being, I'll be happy to engage in one with you. But you're not just going to sit here and try to scream over everybody else and ruin everybody else's fun. And I'd bring them back up and say, are you, and they, and back down they'd go. But that's what you have to do with a Donald Trump. And frankly, most maggots, most Republicans. You can see it on display over at Washington Journal on most any morning you check in, whether it's a Republican guest or a Republican caller. It's what you have to do. And so now there's actually talk among the debate commission about trying to establish some means whereby each candidate gets 2 minutes to answer uninterrupted. And the Biden campaign said, you know, the clearest, easiest way to do this would have been to cut his mic off. And then they, and Biden added, and, you know, cut mine off too, when it's not my turn. I'm not sure, though, if it would work. And I say that because even without a mic, he could probably be heard grunting and spewing and babbling, because every microphone, no matter how directional, still will pick up a little bit of the ambient room. You'd have to crank the noise gate to 11 to keep all of Donald Trump out of a remote mic. But it might be possible. But personally, my favorite method would be to put him in a big tank of water and let him have his head above the water when it was his turn to talk, and then when it wasn't, say, okay, Donnie, big breath, and push his head back under the water until it was his turn again. After all, he approved of waterboarding some years back. Yeah. Flavio seems to think it was impossible for Chris Wallace to do anything. Flavio says, David Dayen of TAP, I don't know what that is, explained why Chris Wallace couldn't do anything. There's a sound engineer in any studio environment, and he has everyone's mic wired into a different spot on the soundboard. Gosh, yes, absolutely. Mic 1, mic 2, mic 3, mic 4. He can turn the mic up or down so the signal broadcast out to the world can either hear or not hear the speaker. This is helpful when you have people on screen speaking over one another or out of turn, or in the case of the Jerry Springer Show or some such operation, when there's just someone so unruly they won't shut up. In a situation where you have two speakers and each of them is supposed to get an uninterrupted amount of time during a portion of the program, you could simply bring up that person's mic and cut the other one. That's a technical term, cut. Anyone who's watched Fox News or really any news program with a guest can plainly see that when it's the host's turn to speak, the mic of the guest is turned down. Now, why am I relating this as if I'm speaking to an 8-year-old? Because the 8-year-olds at the Commission on Presidential Debates are apparently unaware of the power of amplification. The Progressive Change Campaign Committee has now made explicit an ask of the commission, saying, in the next debates, you must cut the mic when it's not a candidate's turn to speak to control the situation and allow the debate to go forward. You would think if the commission had rules that each candidate would go two uninterrupted minutes at the beginning of each section of the debate, that they would have mastered this concept on their own. Those certainly didn't have to be the rules. You could have rules with no conditions on crosstalk and interruption. But they were the rules agreed to by both campaigns, and the simplest tool known by every television producer in the history of the medium is available to enforce that rule. If the moderator won't do it, the sound engineer can. The Commission on Presidential Debates is run by corporate lobbyists from both parties, and for-profit corporate media, they don't want to do that. Well, arguably, it made for a better WWE experience. But again, the moderator, you know, you never let the talent touch the equipment. It's a union thing. But nonetheless, the moderator can simply give a finger symbol or a finger gesture, finger symbols or something else. Give a finger gesture, and it doesn't have to be an obscene one. And just, you know, you point to Donald Trump and Donald Trump's mic goes off because the guy running sound knows what to do. Or you could give him the thing, but there'd have to be some sort of dispensation from the local. You could give him a mute button. But, well, we may see something like it, but the Nitwit Nero campaign is already complaining because the interruption, it didn't just happen that way. That was actually something resembling a strategy. Or a plan. It was his goal to go in and interrupt and, you know, knock, knock. Who's there? Interrupting cow. Interrupting cow. Hoop, moo. That's a lot funnier when you've got two people doing it. But it was. There was no plan to actually participate in any sort of meaningful discussion. Ah, TAP, the American Prospect. Okay, thank you. Sometimes initials don't work with me. And thank you to Jug of Punch for that reminder as well. Yeah, this is not rocket science. You point, and the mic goes off. You point again, and the mic goes on. And after a while, Chris Wallace would have looked a little bit like, I don't know, an orchestra conductor. And they had to know this was what he was going to do. This is what he's done all along. It's what he did during the Republican pageants of 2016. It's what he did in his debates with Hillary. But nobody, or else they, maybe it was proposed and the nitwit Nero came,
no, we won't do it. We won't do it that way.
Because his disordered mind cannot function in an orderly situation. You're all wrong, says Steve in New York. Forget about turning off the mic. Just give the offender a timeout and put him in a soundproof booth. Well, that was what I was thinking with the tank full of water, but your idea is a little bit drier, Steve. Oh, take a big breath, Donnie. Down you go. And then let him back up and talk for 2 minutes, and down you go again. See, you wouldn't have to do that with Joe Biden because Joe Biden can, you know, control his impulses. And did a fantastic job of it last night. And turning to the camera and speaking directly to the American people, breaking the fourth wall, as it were, that's big, too. Because one hopes it had some resonance, say, with, you know, the people who haven't made up their minds yet. Both of them. See what I did there? Both of them. Yeah. Kind of proud of that one. All right. David in South Carolina, Stan, says the strategy was to trigger Biden to stutter, freeze, and appear to be senile. Attacks on Biden's children as an example. And it didn't work. He remained unfazed and unflustered. Flavio, my morning. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. The next debate, Flavio says, I'm not doing shots, I promise. Ouch! Yeah, there was no way to get through that thing. If you were going to drink during that debate, you were not going to get through it sober. No. In the Great Northwest, Jimmy says, I think cut the mics is too simple for most people, but I like it. Simplicity is a beautiful thing. And I'm downright proud of it. Try it. But again, of course, the Nitwit Nero campaign, their response, this is no time to go moving the goalposts. That's not a goalpost. That is merely a procedural rule for getting from A to B. The goalposts is how you score. But that's their strategy. And it's all they've got. Meanwhile, having been name-checked last night, the Proud Boys are fundraising on fundraising now. They're selling T-shirts with a laurel wreath around the letters P and B, and the words direct from Nitwit Nero's mouth.
Stand back, stand by.
You know, that's not even stand down.
Stand back, stand by.
In other words, you can do your brown shirt bully boy work, but I'll be the one who gives you the go ahead. Yeah. Jude sending along a photo. Graffiti, "It's not over," painted on a wall. Jude notes, "With pride being one of the deadly sins." The Boots made it back from Portland last Saturday, where the Proud Boys had left about an hour before arriving after attacking a black journalist, right about that in the evening. Across from Delta Park, there's a large homeless community. I reflected on how they may have been fodder for the likes of these single-focused militia. That's something they like to do, as a matter of fact, Jude. They like to go and beat on homeless people. Peace stand with no one around reminded me of standing at the border wall 30 miles outside El Paso and the vastness of that huge fence, Trump's wall, and cleansing with peace. Journeyed then to the U.S. federal courthouse, parked close to where the Patriot Prayer Man was killed, placing the boots there. Oh, so much more. Take care, says Jude in the great Northwest. A water tank, asks Ron and Raleigh. Would having comb over Caligula in a water tank necessitate him being in a swimsuit of some sort? I'll have to give that a hard pass. No, I would anticipate his standard blue suit, white shirt, and Chinese-made Trump necktie. That's the way I'd do it. Are you kidding? No way would I come up with a plan that would involve America seeing Nitwit Nero in a Speedo. Oh, hell no. No. And then this. Bob! Frankly, I was rather amazed at how many people were so shocked by the tenor of the debate. I don't think anybody in this community was, Joey. Trump behaved just as I figured he would, and Joe Biden did the best he could to honor the rules and decorum that were manifested and agreed upon prior to the debate. A female commentator at CNN, live on the air, referred to the event as a shit show, and she was correct. Anyway, you look at the evening, it was difficult to watch as Trump trampled his way through the entire evening in his attempts to bully Biden and Chris Wallace. In early polls, though, it only appears that Trump has hurt his own cause with his antics last night, as I'm quite confident the poll results will reflect later. Stand by a sec. I just wanted Biden so badly to lash out at Trump, didn't we all? And he did. He referred to him as a clown and said, "Oh, shut up, man!" When Donald claimed Biden has done nothing for 47 years. Biden should have shot back, and what have you done for the last 47 years? Let me see, you went bankrupt at least four times after your father gave you $300 million. You've ripped off hundreds of contractors. You've stolen your niece's inheritance, for which she's now suing you. You've ripped off veterans and others with your scam charities. You committed bank, tax, and real estate fraud. You've allegedly been sexually assaulting women, and just like your taxes, you won't provide your DNA to clear yourself. Gee, that's quite a record, Donnie. But what I really want Biden to do is go after Trump on his economy, since still, somehow, 52% of the country believes in Trump's economy. When Trump claims we had the greatest economy ever until the virus, Biden should shoot back. No, he didn't. As of March 1st, well, and the thing is, Joey, that did take place. Both Chris Wallace and Joe Biden pointed out that
the greatest economy ever in the history of the world on Earth today, forever in the universe under God.
It really is just a carryover of the Obama administration. But Joey continues. Furthermore, President Obama and I warned you before you took office that the pandemics team needed to be ramped up. We left a pandemic playbook that, according to sources, you threw away. You fired two liaison scientists in Wuhan and did nothing to stop the virus from devouring this country. Because of your childish petty vindictiveness, you held a grudge against President Obama and have vowed to destroy every accomplishment of his administration. The blood of over 200,000 people in this country is on your hands, Donald Trump. And he did, again, kind of do that when he looked at him and said, well, it is what it is because you are what you are. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says, trying to blame the pandemic for the bad economy is like the Menendez brothers complaining about being orphans after they killed their parents. That is correct, Giraffrey. And speaking of orphans, there are a whole lot more of them running around this country after what Trump's despicable administration has done to children at the border. And now, COVID. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 30th day of September, with Giraffrey just a-praying that Joe Biden develops a spine as long as mine and tramples Trump. I don't think Joe's hurting for spine. It's just, well, it wasn't about spine. It was about a decision whether to play his game or not play his game. Whether to get down and go for a waller with him or to take Mark Twain's advice. Never waller with a pig in shit. You both get covered in shit and the pig likes it. Well, if what I'm seeing data-wise is any indication, the American people are glad that he didn't get down and go for the walla. So, I think overall it has to go. It has to go to Joe Biden. This debate, or whatever it is, shit show. And it remains to be seen whether or not there will be another one of these. But we do know for a fact that a week from tonight, we will be treated to the brouhaha in Utah. For that one, I did come up with a catchy name. And that'll feature Kamala Harris versus Mike Pencilneck Geek. And I have a feeling that she may actually make shorter work of him than Joe Biden did back 8 years ago of Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan. Yeah. Because he did. He demolished Paul Ryan. And Mike Pencilneck Geek, well, he and Kamala Harris are both lawyers, but one of them is a much better lawyer than the other one. And I'll give you three guesses and two don't count which one's the better lawyer. But if you want the biggest laugh of it all, Mike Pencilneck Geek will be taking his debate prep far more seriously, I suspect, than did Nitwit Nero.
No, you just shut up, Chris. Just shut up. Bring him another box.
But there's serious, and then there's serious. Do you know who's standing in for Kamala Harris in Mike Pencilneck Geek's debate prep? Do you? because this is good. Now, remember, Mother Pence, the original Karen, doesn't allow Mikey to be alone in a room with a woman who is not mother. So that means that Mike can't do debate prep with, say, a really intelligent female. I mean, to be honest, it's not even a close comparison, but I can think of some maggot women who would be formidable and could really help Mike Pencil Neck Geek in his debate prep. Fräulein Ingram, for instance. Or maybe Kellyanne Skeletor. Or Jethreen Hustlebuck Sandbags. Maybe even Kaylee McEnany. But those are all off limits to Mikey, because Mikey can't be allowed the unmarried women because he might go into a manly sexual paroxysm of sexual manliness, Christian sexual manliness, and be able to, unable to control his manly Christian sexual urges. Stop laughing. So, as a consequence, Mike Pencil Neck Geek, the Vice President of the United States, has been doing his debate prep for the brouhaha in Utah. And the surrogate standing in for Kamala Harris is, wait for it, it'll be here in a minute, it's on the way, you're gonna love this, Snot Walker, former governor of Wisconsin, or back then, Fitzwalkerstan. Yes, yes. The man that Charlie Pierce refers to as the goggle-eyed homunculus is trying to stand in for Kamala Harris and provide the same sort of withering responses that she would be most likely to provide. Almost kind of makes you feel sorry for Mike Pence if that was an emotion that any human being on planet Earth could ever gin up, even just to get above the zero line. Snot Walker. Whoop! No, not Sarah Huckabee. That's why I mentioned her as one of the potential. But she can't be alone in the same room with Mike Pencil Neck Geek. Subject line, Mother May I. Matt in San Francisco says, I really think Mother Pence is focused on the wrong threat. She shouldn't be worried about other women. Now, pool boys, that's another story. Oh, Matt's just parking them in the cheap seats tonight. I was... Oh, he's a clever one, that Mike Pencil Neck Geek. Oh, no, Mother, I would never be alone with a woman in a room without you. How about if I'm alone doing debate prep with that fine young Christian fella, Scott Walker? That meets with your approval, doesn't it, Mother? Mm-hmm. And to the same extent that the Proud Boys are out there fundraising with their own T-shirt, Flavio tells me other T-shirts are already on sale. Will you shut up, man? Because Joe Biden went there. But I do hate the fact that it's been because the for-profit media can't help themselves. They're like moths to flame. So they've had to both cider the story today. Oh, as both candidates interrupted and shouted at each other. They must have been watching a different debate. That or the... Well, that's what it is. The checks keep clearing. Our buddy Freight Train Frank, member of the Iowa Blues Hall of Fame, reminds us, or says, it's been a good day so far. Nobody told me to shut up. Well, you probably didn't do anything to earn one there, did you, Frank? Didn't think so. I'm dying. Woo, I'm dying again. Hoboken, the Flavio says, I'm dying. Scott Walker, standing in for Kamala Harris. ROTFLMAO, rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off. We all know what that means, but it... Rotful now. I wonder. Behind closed doors. And when we get behind closed doors. No singing! We're done with fundraising for the month. You think the makeup team's coming in and doing a little brown face on young Snotty? You think? Because I wouldn't be at all surprised if they had, because it's going to be enough of a challenge for Mike Pencilneck Geek to have to be in the same room or at a podium socially distanced from a non-white person. Yeah. Scott Walker. Maybe they've got audience participation. Maybe they've got some plants there to stand up and yell, Kamala's a cop! I know. Lee in New York. Stop it, Bob. Intelligent woman for debate prep? Pence would have to do too many Hail Marys if he were to consider a woman equal to a man. Don't you remember the story of Eve and the forbidden fruit? You know, I'm going to leave that last line just hanging above the rim and let it bounce harmlessly to the floor. Nobody's even going to rebound it and put it back. Nope. You've got your... And I understand that this may be a little bit terra incognita for you, Lee. You've got your Christianities mixed up. You see, Mike Pencilneck Geek would burst into spontaneously combusting flame if he were to even think about doing a Hail Mary. Because that's that Catholic stuff. And Mike Pencilneck Geek is nothing if he is not a Catholic. He's a real Christian, not some mackerel-snapping Mary worshiper. That's the way they describe it. Yeah. They're in the Baptist church and whatnot. Idol worshipers. After all, it is so. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, so we can do that. Now, let's see here. Getting ready to go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Oh, what's this? Weird Al Yankovic has entered the fray? Oh, my. That's just too good to pass up. By a long shot. This ought to be some good audio. At least I hope.
We're all doomed! People are
Wait. It works better if I actually hook the thing up to the... I knew I forgot something before the program started. There. All better now. Here we go. Weird Al Yankovic. Now, what the hell? It was ready to go a minute ago. Ah! Oh, finally. Yeah, now it happens. We'll get there in a second. Okie dokie. One more time. Oh, and by the way, there's a Brad Parscale update.
Breathing out this living poison and trying to float into my orifices. I lost my car keys. I had to steal my neighbor's Segway to get here today. And on the way, I crashed in this dumpster. And these kids are making a video, and now I'm on TikTok. I can't.
Excuse me.
Yeah? Being not hysterical? Despite, you know, things? Oh, I can do that. Dignified.
Gentlemen. Welcome to the first presidential debate. Our first question in the key of G sharp minor is
Scoo doo doo dit doo dit and bibbidi baba da boo baba doo dit.
I'm so sorry.
2020 is a raging hellscape. Any ideas on how to stop a worldwide plague?
We should be providing people the help they need. He knew back in February it was a deadly disease. What did he do? He's on tape acknowledging he knew.
Really?
He waited and waited and waited, and he didn't even tell you.
President Trump did a phenomenal job. People said that.
Well,
we got the gowns, we made the ventilators, we got the masks. I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. The biggest mask I've ever seen. The biggest mask I've ever seen.
Get back all the jobs we lost, or should we set up 11 million Etsy shops?
My economic plan would create $1 trillion in economic growth.
He has no intention of making it better for you all at home.
I brought back football. It was me.
What?
Big Ten football, and I'm very happy.
Who's it gonna be?
They wanna take out the cows.
In the West Wing.
Now here's the deal. He has no idea what he's talking about.
We're living in the apocalypse. I'm begging you to put a stop to this pretty please.
He said he could inject some bleach. They cheat.
If the Supreme Court is truly supreme, where's the guac, ground beef, and sour cream?
The American people have a right to say, who's the Supreme Court nominee?
Our biggest endorser by from Notre Dame. We have a phenomenal nominee.
I ran out of questions, but still got a while. It's time to drop some bars, let's see how you freestyle!
In Europe, they live their forest cities, they call forest cities, it's a forest city.
You know, he talks about the art of the deal, China's perfected the art of the steal.
Bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things.
He's just afraid of
the left. Stand back and stand by.
But he said they were very...
Wait, by the way, forest cities, I mean, that's cute enough, I suppose. It's not Weird Al's best work. But forest cities... Did somebody scream the Lord of the Rings for that stupid bastard? Forest cities. Yeah. And the biggest mask of all. And
I brought back football.
He's 4 years old. He's his own walking ought to be canceled version of Arrested Development. You know, but in its own way, it all fits. What other kind of carnival sideshow would you have expected 2020 to deliver? I mean, this is the 2020th presidential debate that anyone could reasonably imagine. But I said there's a Brad Parscale update, and there is. And it's, there's also an Eric Trump update. Eric had to go on some broadcast outlet, probably Fox, or issue a statement or something like that, in which he declared, "No, I'm not gay," because you may recall that last night we had that audio of him declaring the exact opposite. "I'm a member of that community," he said. But there was so much pushback that he had to, "No, I'm not. And then he pissed and moaned some about how the gay community really loves Donald Trump, and Democrats take the gay community for granted. Oh, yeah. I know. So, rest easy, LGBTQ horn family community members. That was just about too much to cope with. But Brad Parscale, yeah. You may recall that he got Baker-acted over the weekend when he lost his shit at home and his wife dropped the dime on him. Well, there's a reason. It turns out that, according to the Daily Mail, a Trump insider explained to DailyMail.com that Parscale went into a tailspin after he was demoted in July and replaced by his former number two, Bill Stepien, because he, Parscale, is worried about the gravy train ending and keeping up with his lavish lifestyle. You know, the Ferrari, the home in Fort Lauderdale, the pool. Yeah. And right after they got rid of Brad Parscale, they ordered the maggots did. The maggot in chief ordered a review of Republican National Committee finances. And so the theory is that there's about $40 million that are missing, and that Brad Parscale is alleged to have made go missing. Mm-hmm. Naturally, after he was carted off in handcuffs, the Nitwit Nero campaign, via a spokescreep by the name of Tim Murtaugh, said, "The disgusting personal attacks from Democrats and disgruntled rhinos have gone too far, and they should be ashamed of themselves for what they've done to this man and his family." Turns out we're a little more powerful than we thought we were. We were able to make Brad Parscale boost $40 million and buy a Ferrari and a house in a pleasant little neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale. That's power. Oh, yeah. Spokescreep Tim Murtaugh said, "Brad Parscale is a member of our family, and we all love him. We're ready to support him and his family in any way possible. The disgusting personal attacks from Democrats and disgruntled rhinos have gone too far, and they should be ashamed of themselves for what they've done to this man and his family. Yeah, damn it. Of course, that didn't stop the MAGOT campaign from inexplicably, you know, inexplicably, because utterly disappearing Brad Parscale from the Trump campaign website. Over at the Daily Beast, Lachlan Markey writes, since Tuesday, the campaign has removed a video of Parscale from the homepage of its Army for Trump election monitoring operation. It also deleted a page on the main campaign website featuring a video of Parscale and Laura Trump, the president's daughter-in-law and senior campaign advisor, which means she's in on the grift, too. The video of their discussion, billed as a Q&A on the state of the campaign, has also been, I'll add inexplicably, removed from YouTube. Yeah, those deletions were first flagged on Twitter by the writer Gerald Beyer. Yeah. Oh, and it's not just $40 million from the Trump campaign that he's alleged to have boosted. He wanted to make it a nice, cool $50 million. So there's $10 million missing from the RNC, too. Nonetheless, the MAGOT campaign says, oh, no, nobody's investigating Brad. We love Brad. Suddenly it all makes a lot more, you know, sense. Right. So here we are, a little past the second hour of the program. Let's run over to the old holler tree around which folks have gathered in the in the holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
Have you recovered?
No. I watched the debate in on the TV in the guest bedroom. So I'm as far away from Judy as a cut possibly could, so she wouldn't hear me doing my Walter Subjack imitation.
Well, please do it for us.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
It was a whole night worth of shut the fuck up, Donnie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, there's a great idea, Sparky. You've hit it.
What?
The debate commission needs to hire John Goodman to sit next to the moderator, and every time he starts running his yap, John Goodman simply says, shut the fuck up, Donnie.
I don't know if that's going to work at the next debate.
I
heard it was going to be a town hall for him.
Well, there's going to be a town hall, but it's not going to be head-to-head. That was my understanding. But still, I'd pay good money to just once see John Goodman say, shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Well, I think probably have him sitting on either end of the stage, and then the people that asking the questions in the audience, you know, and then you could get up and wander around like they usually do at a town hall.
Oh, this will be the town hall where he stalks Biden. Is that it? Or this will be the debate where he stalks Biden.
Well, that's what I would think it is.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. I need to cut that little clip out and just have it handy for when we're playing audio of it. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Did you see that video I sent you on Facebook?
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones one?
Yeah.
That is just...
Why
can't you ever
close the door? There's flies all over the place.
How long
have you been back in here?
Just a minute.
All right. Hi, Judy.
I closed it.
Okay.
It's just... I can't understand why so many damn flies in here. It's bugging me in my bedroom.
Well, hey, Steve from Georgistan, are you on hand?
Bob, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, I don't know, Steve. Did you get through it? Did you get through it as a sober man?
You know, it was everything I thought it was going to be, but it was still shocking. Just extremely shocking. Orange didn't display not one iota of decency towards his fellow man. And who thought that he would, you know? Just a rude, obnoxious, in-your-face, loud, bulldozing bastard that we thought he was going to be. And I don't see the point of having another head-to-head unless they have mic control. Or here's another ideal. I've only heard one other person mention it. Do it virtual.
And just mute him that way.
Yeah. Yeah, just have he can do it from D.C. and his, you know, in the house that he doesn't want to leave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's an impossibility, but a guy can dream. I just really like the idea of him being held underwater until it's...
Of course. But, you know, I'm trying to be the pragmatist of the group, you know.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. I don't mean Mr. Be the Wet Blanket, but, yeah, I mean, there's got to be some mic control. I was texting back and forth.
Hey, here's an idea. How about...
It was the consensus, you know, last night. We were thinking about it on the fly.
How about maybe a pair of jumper cables attached to a diehard battery and attached to, you know, him, and you just... And, yep, I'm sorry you interrupted, Donnie.
Yeah, turn the voltage up for every time he throws himself out there. And, you know, they could coordinate a light with the hot mic, too. It'd be so easy to do.
Or some sound LED effects.
Woohoo, woohoo!
Yeah, sure. Or the pre-can, shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Yeah, I don't know. Would it be more expensive to license the use of that clip or just to hire John Goodman?
Yeah, I don't know, but circling back, did that really serve anybody, that fiasco last night? Was anyone served by that?
Well, I'm just trying to figure, you know, I was listening on National Petroleum Radio, and they said, so even though the number of people who are undecided is relatively small, that's the true audience for tonight's debate. And, of course, in my little interior monologue, guy who's never really off the air voice, I said, yeah, both of them.
Here's a million-dollar question. Who at this point with a functioning brainwave could be undecided?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Both of them.
Right.
And that's only because both of them have been drunk since, you know, November the 8th, 2016.
Yep. And I didn't know he was being coached by Chris Christie, which should immediately ban him from being on the round table for Stephanopoulos' Sunday show. That ought to immediately, he shouldn't be on it anymore, because the round table is supposed to be quasi-neutral people. Yeah, they have different political persuasions, but, you know, he shouldn't be on there anymore, period.
Oh, the Lincoln Project had a good one out today. I forget, it's something about the zoo, where the secret debate strategy was held. Starts out, you're going down a hallway, and you got a guy talking to over voicing the thing, and then you open the door, and there's all the whole room's full of monkeys. It goes out to monkeys, and then you start talking about which monkey was this person, that person, that person, and the last monkey was an orangutan, the Donald. they got somebody working overtime down there at the Lincoln Project, because they were cranking them out today.
Yeah, they get inside his head. But I even took one for the team and listened to the Post-Washington Journal call-in show.
Oh, dear God. You okay?
It was a long night, Bob.
Are you okay?
It was a long night. Thank goodness we got rid of all the booze.
I don't know how anybody could have been drinking during that. It's just no. I'm worried about my buddy Lewis.
Yeah, that was rough, man. Because he, as you know, he's still got that hardcore base that are. I don't know. We asked back in 2017, what's it going to take? You're never going to flip them people. He could turn into a fucking werewolf right on TV, and they would still support him. Oh, it's just bad lighting.
Darlene, I was drinking through it, and
yeah, that was the Kraken, wasn't it?
The Kraken, and it didn't help. I
can't hardly hear Darlene.
Yeah, hey, Darlene, you're having some audio issues.
She must be on the other side of the room or something. Oh, yeah, all right, hey, barely hear.
Sorry, guys. How about this? Is that better?
Ten times better. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I put my I use my microphone here. I was so and I remember speaking with Bob, and I'm sorry I missed the first hour of the program because I was in a freaking Zoom meeting. What else is new? I remember asking Bob last night, is there, you know, what else can we do to kind of ease and relax through this thing? I was like stressed out times 10. I found myself, I was yelling at the iPad and I was like, say this, you know, Joe Biden, say that. And oh my, you know, it was just stressful. And walking away from is like, this is a train wreck. I don't even think trying to get drunk helped mitigate or I could not believe what had happened last night. It's like, what happened? So anyway, I felt that, Trump was as, like I had said to Bob last night, Trump is a caged animal. So he came out swinging. Biden's trying to be measured and do the appropriate debate protocols and manner. And his, you know, his propensity for stuttering tripped him up, sadly, because Trump was very good at continuously interrupting him and interrupting his train of thought and interrupting his ability to speak. And it just tripped him up. And I think that he did okay. There were times where he really tried to focus into the camera, but there were missed opportunities. It was a disastrous thing, but I think Trump looked like, you know, the juvenile delinquent that he is.
Well, I tend to agree.
Biden got his poked back.
But there was
He found his feet. He was a bit pale when he first came out. I was a bit concerned, but then his color came back and he found his feet as it progressed, you know, as best he could from being bulldozed.
Who?
Biden looked a bit pale, I thought, when he first came out. I was a bit concerned.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else noticed it either, but then he found his feet. You know, his color came back and he got his ground.
No, I guess you can't ever say that Trump looks pale.
Yeah, well, saw that orange cake on there. Shit, man, he's one color. That's it.
You got that right, Steve. He was caked up big time. I felt like...
Oh, too.
You know...
Adderall.
And of course, Mike Wallace lost control. I appreciated that he did look at Trump and say, you know, you've been interrupting more. There was one point in time where he kind of tried to prescribe blame to both candidates, but I felt that was unfair to Biden. But maybe it was his way of trying to be fair. But then I guess it got to a point where he had to directly look at Trump and say, you know, you are out of control, you know, in essence.
He basically did. At one point, yeah. He basically did. He called him out.
He did. He called him out, Steve. Yeah. But clearly, you know, who's Trump playing to? He's playing to the raucous, obnoxious 39%, they're going to love it. That's all he cares about. So
that wasn't,
he did his
dog
job.
Whistling. That was dog whistling through a bullhorn. I mean, it was disgusting. It really was. And then for him to turn around and deny that he said it today, what's, like I said, Darlene, what's it going to take?
Well, he engages in his own reality, right? So, and he tries to foist whatever he thinks the reality is onto everybody else. You know, like what Bob was reading, you know, before the debate, that he said he had already debated him and won before the debate had even started. He creates a reality, his own reality, or, well, fantasy, if you want to say, and has unabashed in, you know, projecting and foisting that on the rest of us. And he's so confident in it because his life depends on it and his narcissism and ego depends on it that it looks like, you know, he's believable. Even though we, you know, any intelligent person knows he's not, that's his go-to, his shtick, so to speak. But I think Biden, there were opportunities that he missed.
Oh, sure.
I'm hoping if they have a, and which is sad, but I'm hoping that with, well,
nobody,
you know,
could,
I kept thinking.
At 1,000, though. I mean, all that pressure and strain, knowing that the whole world's watching you, who can bat 1,000?
But you know what? You know what, Steve? I kept thinking as I was watching this, what if it was Kamala who was up there?
Oh, you know, that crossed my mind, too. You said exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, if we could just swap them.
Multiple times I was thinking, and that's nothing against Biden.
No, I mean, you'd be less than human if you didn't think it.
He's horrible in these situations, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a horrible leader at all. But I feel like I kept thinking, God, what if it was Kamala there? And she would never have taken that shit. She would have, would have been better on her feet. And
yeah, she would have cut him off at the knees and kicked his ass for being short.
Exactly. And again, I do think it's not necessarily age. It could be, but also, Biden's stuttering.
He stutters,
and it was
he's owned it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, not to, you know, that's not a criticism. It's just a fact, and Trump capitalized on it. But I guess they're going to try to. I saw some headline. They're going to try to change the debate format, so that this doesn't happen again, assuming there's a second debate, which Mick Mulvaney said there won't be.
You're talking about muting the mics.
Yeah, but I'm like,
Trump will sign off on that, though. I mean, that'll blow his whole strategy up.
Biden already said
he said, yeah, cut mine off, and I'm not talking. Sure.
Well, you're right, Steve, because what is his strategy? His strategy is to sow chaos in every
knock him off his feet right out of the gate. Overtalk, steamroll. Yeah.
Trump lost one of his endorsements right after the debate happened. One of his imaginary endorsements. The Portland sheriff comes out and says, "I've never endorsed Trump. I'm for Biden."
All the police, they're all endorsing me.
He said the Portland sheriff.
Wait a minute, Steve. You have been awarded a cowbell, courtesy of Suman. Suman says, "Cowbell for Steve, please. For he could turn into a werewolf on TV, and they'd say it's bad lightning. Bad lighting. I ruined that. But yeah,
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been asking this for, what, 3-4 years now? What the fuck is it going to take? You've seen him for what he is. Every day just gets worse.
Yeah, there's something here on CNN, and I'm not really sure that I agree with this, but I guess he's a debate coach, and why he thinks that, how it was the worst debate in history.
Absolutely. His
name is Todd Graham, director of debate at Southern Illinois University. His teams have won 5 national championships. He personally has been recognized 3 times as the national debate coach of the year. So he ascribed blame in order of priority. And he placed Chris Wallace at fault first, which he said he was worried about the moderator from the get-go, like Bob was. Right, Bob? Because you said that.
Oh, yeah.
He said Wallace decided to be invisible in his primary job. And then he blamed the notion of facilitating an open discussion played right into the hands of the biggest liar and interrupter on the stage. Debates with Trump simply aren't like anything else. The idea behind being invisible is that a moderator shouldn't get in the way of a good debate. Wallace, by losing control of the candidates, caused the chaos. So he's blaming Wallace. And when did Wallace think that allowing Trump to ask Biden questions and then making Biden answer by failing to stop Trump, and then at one point even prompting Biden to somehow ask, somehow answer Trump's question was even proper? It demonstrated an amazing lack of fairness, intended or not. And then the next person he blamed was Donald Trump himself. There are degrees of interruption. Some are quick, short, and annoying. Others are used as a defense against someone who just lied about you. Then there are long, off-topic rambling and yell at your television maddening interruptions. Trump's were this last type of interruption. His torrent of bombastic babbling over both Biden and Wallace never let up, plus the number of falsehoods, questionable statements, claims without evidence, and generally made-up junk simply put this president in a league of his own. And then Biden took last place in terms of order of priority at fault. He claims, and this, I don't know if this is fair to Biden, but he said Biden needed to show more restraint in interrupting both Trump and Wallace. So he says, sure, interrupting is required sometimes, but when a family member is attacked rhetorically, which that's a whole other thing about attacking family members. Unfortunately, Biden began the whole process of interrupting. He said that Biden began the whole process of interrupting in this debate, drawing first blood. Do you recall that? I don't, but maybe I'm missing something. In doing so and continuing throughout the debate, Biden might have turned off possible voters who are left thinking that both candidates are insufferable. Still in all, Biden wasn't nearly as hideous in the quantity of rage-inducing transgressions. He does not share equal blame. Looking at the series of primaries he just finished or the one-on-one debate against Bernie Sanders, compare those debates with last night's debate. If you see a difference, then the fault can't be with Biden. So, and the fact that, you know, the fact that Biden really, you know, the moment that Biden brought up Hunter or even Bo or whatever, he could have turned to Trump and said, you opened the door, dude. Now I can go after your kids. And I thought that Biden attempted to do that, didn't he? At one point in Trump, the rage that occurred in him, I noticed it, and I think Biden backed down. I don't remember if I'm reading that. I saw that correctly. But well, the moment
it just got shouted down.
Yeah, he said, I don't want to make this about families, but if you want to go there, yeah, or something to that effect.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I didn't think. Yeah. I felt that once he opens that door, he can go right after Trump. But I, you know, let's face it, Biden's
my
shitty debater.
They're all here.
Biden's not a great debater. He's not. He's not good. So he really simply is. I mean, Trump is horrible, but Trump is just he attacks.
He's just a bully. Yeah.
I did not at all get the sense. And this is important. I didn't get the sense at all that Biden is at all afraid of Trump. I don't think he's afraid of him at all. And he says, shut the hell up, man, or Jesus, shut up, man.
And he did look into the camera and tried to speak to the people. And I think that may have gotten through. That was big.
Exactly.
Megan?
I agree. Yeah, I don't think there was a winner last night, quite frankly. But I agree.
Megan, speak up. That was rude. Hello, Megan. She just unmuted her mic.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, someone else we have on the line, Todd has jumped in.
Wow, Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
All right.
Still recovering, bro.
But we're better now that you're here.
Hi, Todd. This is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you directly. How are you? This is Darlene.
I'm doing great. I know, Darlene. You've been on fire lately. Absolutely. Excuse me, Darlene. Did you mention the Kraken, the rum? Did you mention that?
Yes, she did.
Yes. Kraken Black Spice.
You know, I did not mean to get off on this track to begin with, but, you know, there's very few liquors I will go back and keep buying. That's something special about that Kraken.
It's nice, isn't it? All right. Oh. Well, that confirms it for me. Thank you, my friend, and thank you for the compliment.
Yeah. I mean, the bottle will be in here for months, but it's smooth. I mean, I have a little Patron, but that's some smooth. It's very smooth.
It's smooth, but just be careful because every once in a while, the spice, the pepper, the spice, whatever, can hit you in the back of the throat and get you to choke, let me tell you. If you're not careful, don't swig it. Don't swig it.
I have a question for anyone who heard Washington Journal this morning.
God.
There was a caller at approximately, I had to write it down because I was just so irritated. Around an hour and 17 and a half minutes into the program, a caller from Ohio. And she talked for a couple few minutes, but at 1:18 into her call, she mentioned that she would just go to heaven, like Donald Trump is leading his followers to heaven.
You know, I had it on, Todd, but I don't recall that. You know, I was getting ready for work and all, and I may have been out of the room at the time. Wow.
Well, I had the podcast on at work because I was doing other things early. You know, I was at work, but anyway, it's out there. It's just, I guess the point is that there's nothing we can do with this 42%. Just like you said earlier, Steve. There's nothing, and that werewolf comment was hilarious, by the way.
Thanks.
That was funny.
It's just, what's it going to take, you know? What is it going to take? I don't think there's nothing that we can do with that 42%, Todd. Do you?
No, not after that comment.
They're dug in. And they're ready to die for this orange bastard.
Okay, well, that leads me into the next disturbing issue. We understand that the president refuses to acknowledge the concept of white supremacy because most people like that, they don't want to mention it. They won't speak it out loud. It's like America. They practice it, but they won't speak it. Right.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm concerned about. He's called these people out. They're following him. And I would not be surprised if there's some type of martial law called right around the election just to disrupt things more because we looked at his body language last night. He is an animal. He has lost his fucking mind. He is not presidential. And I know I'm cursed. I wasn't going to curse, but it's just, this is unbearable.
Well, that's a poignant observation.
But is this acceptable? Is this acceptable? Do we deserve this?
Well, I mean, deserving's got nothing to do with it. But maybe deserving has everything to do with it. We're the ones who didn't fix the racist anachronism that allowed him to become president, that allowed George W. Bush to become president. Maybe there's an element of deserving to it after all.
In 2000, when the election was stolen, we didn't do it. Well, we didn't do anything. We let it happen. It may be time, and I'm a nonviolent person. But it may be time to take it to the street.
Now, we as Americans are not violently, the vast majority of us are
not promoting violence, but it may be time to show up in
Steve,
the street.
You mentioned,
in numbers.
You mentioned taking it to the street.
Yep.
You remember, and this is a little bit of a setup here. You remember how in the aftermath of Ferguson, we found out that police departments all over this country had been trained in their paramilitary tactics and their brutal suppression tactics by Israeli police. Remember that? Because that's a fact. Really happened. Well, something just happened in Israel. And you reminded me of it when you said maybe it's time to take to the streets. And the something that happened in Israel is that for months now, in the midst of a pandemic, huge crowds of people have been taking to the streets there, demanding the resignation of Psycho Bibi. You know Psycho Bibi, Netanyahu. Psycho Bibi, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. The Israeli people are sick to death of Bibi the Psycho, and they want him gone because he's a fucking crook. So guess what happened? The Israeli government has passed a law forbidding all political protests that take place more than 1,000 feet from one's dwelling. They're using COVID as the, or any national emergency, as the triggering event. But in essence, the hard right Likudniks have shut down free expression and peaceful protest in Israel in order to get the Israeli people off of Psycho Bibi's back. Now, I mentioned this because, well, like I said, we learned how to Ferguson from the Israeli police and the IDF. If we take to the streets, look for Nitwit Nero to suddenly decide that he takes coronavirus seriously after all, and shut down free expression. He's already tear gassed people, peaceful protesters.
Exactly.
I heard that story and it gave me chills.
And of course, I mean that nonviolently, but isn't the Sedition Act still on the books?
Yeah,
that's never been rescinded, is it?
Sure, it is. It's still on the books.
Yeah, there's that.
See, Bob, I absolutely agree with you. And because, remember, we had Bill Barr. He's too quiet. He's too quiet right now.
Oh, you got that right, Todd, because you know me. I'm just like you. He is frightening. And Trump's unwillingness to denounce white supremacy.
Yeah, if Bill Barr's not riveting, he's dangerous.
He's dangerous. And this is why I think Trump is so cocky. Remember, he said, it'll be big trouble. It's just going to be big trouble.
They're cooking something up. I agree with you, Tanya. They're cooking something up, and they know.
Hello?
They know something.
Yeah,
hello?
Steve.
Hey, along those lines, think of it this way. Think of how this Supreme Court justice is so important. In light of
absolutely, Steve. Absolutely. That's why they need to stall this. Run the clock out. I mean, if there's a procedural move where they have to do a voice vote to go to the fucking bathroom, do it, man. Stall it. Stall.
Well, I don't everything. Even. I have my view on that. I think it's time to. Well, but she's insurance, and I'm going to say something else too. Unhinged as Trump might be and is, I was listening to, I actually heard Ellie Mistel. I don't know if people know who he is or listen to. I heard him on Stephanie and on Sam Cedar's show today. And he made a very good point. And he said, Trump is not looking to expand. He's not looking to expand his base. He's not looking to energize his base. He's looking to delegitimize everything because Trump, with what these you know, what the, these this tax information that just came out tells us, forget about the fact that he only paid $750 in taxes. As far as I'm concerned, that's not even – that's nothing. That's meaningless. Yeah, it stinks. But he's you know, he's owned up to the fact that he thinks it's a good thing to not pay taxes. That's not why this stuff is so bombshellish. And I just wish that the media, or I wish people would stop focusing on that and clutching their pearls over that. That's not the bombshell here. The bombshell here is that he sucks as a businessman. And that's what scares the shit out of him.
Who's leveraging him? Yeah.
Well, but that's not even it. That's not even it either. He doesn't care. What he cares about is the image. If you think about it, he doesn't make money for doing anything. He has made money primarily, particularly in the foreign countries to whom he paid all those taxes, by licensing his name. So if his name is shit, first of all, he is shit. It bursts the whole bubble. That's what he's scared of. He's scared of people knowing he's a failure, and he's scared of people knowing he's underwater. He doesn't care about any of this other stuff that we're focusing on. That's what he cares. That's what scares the hell out of him.
You don't think Letitia James scares the shit out of him?
Wait a minute. She was going to do what she's doing regardless of this New York Times stuff. I was going to get to that, Bob. I'm talking specifically about the New York Times stuff. That what scares him is the fact that people are going to know that, or that people, all it did was confirm what anybody who was listening knew, and the Trumpanzees don't believe it. That, you know what, they're fucking lost. What also terrifies him, and this is why he is so looking to find any way to win, is exactly what you just said. It's Tish James. And look, I can promise you, that's not the only thing that's going on here. He, you know, and I maintain, I think Cy Vance already has the tax returns. They probably, in fact, they may not have the tax returns, but they have the information that the New York Times has, and that they only want the tax returns to confirm what's in that information. Confirm what's in the IRS stuff that the Times now has. Nobody's fooled. So he's looking to hold on to power however he can. And I want to say something else too. Another thing that I find really, really scary and disgusting is they're using these safety valves in the Constitution. They're actively pursuing the safety valves. You know, the reason that the issue with throwing it into the House of Representatives, it's a safety valve. It's basically put in there, and for putting aside whether we like the Electoral College or the process, put that aside right now. This is the rules of the game that we have. That stuff is that putting it into the House is in there in the off chance that nobody is a clear win in the election. So it's almost like the founders put that in there to kind of say, well, if the vote doesn't produce somebody, if the Electoral College doesn't produce somebody, we got to have a process that at least chooses somebody that at least has the veneer of being Democratic. But those were never meant to be pursued. But that's what this was about last night. He's not looking to expand the vote. He's looking to delegitimize it. That's what's going on here.
Well, Steve, you seem to like sports where people get injured, like truly injured. Who do you think you know, metaphorically speaking. Let me finish my question.
But I didn't say
who do you think really got injured last night? You know, metaphorically speaking, in sports terminology. And then you also like monarchy. How would Elizabeth, you know, the second kind of monarchy, have prevented what happened last night?
It wouldn't have. A constitutional monarchy, we wouldn't be here to begin with. A constitutional monarch would have invalidated the election in 2016. In my world, and in terms of who got hurt last night, nobody. I talked to a friend of mine about this, and he made a perfect point. He says both of them were on message. This isn't going to change. Well,
you could hear it.
Hello?
If you could hear it, because there was so much people were talking over people, it was very difficult to make it. It was chaos, which is what Trump sows.
Right. And let me also be upfront. I only listened to about 30% of it. I mean, about 30 minutes at most. I didn't watch any of it.
Can't blame you there.
It was awesome. But you know what? Again, Ellie Mustel said this today. He said, what Trump did isn't going to sway any of those quote-unquote suburban housewives. This isn't going to sway them. If anything, I think a good number of anybody, to the extent that anybody's undecided, and I don't buy that, they're going to look at this and go, he's just a jerk. Why would I want a jerk in the White House unless you're a Trumpanzee? Why would I want a jerk who's going to talk over a person and belittle him while he's talking about his service member's son who died from cancer? So who were the losers last night? Nobody. Again, it's a Rorschach. People who went into this being a Biden person looked at that and went, well, Biden held his own and Trump showed himself to be a jerk. And people who went into this as Trumpanzees said, oh, look how tough he was. He was tough.
Bruce, so to wrap this, Steve, you're going with the chaos theory to wrap this.
Well, yeah. He has no other way to win. Chaos and delegitimize.
Even if we turn out and vote in droves and just blow his ass out of the water, it's not going to matter.
I'm not going to say it's not going to matter.
No, but it could if your theory comes to fruition.
No, if it's overwhelming, that makes it much harder for anybody to say, look.
That's why one of the most important things that Biden did last night was looking into the camera and saying, listen to me, vote. He cannot take that away from you. If you vote, it won't matter. If you vote and he's overwhelmed, he's going to leave office. He will have to leave office.
Right.
And that was
that
idea of overwhelming him was, well, it remains critical to the idea of Biden winning. Biden can't win a squeaker, okay? The question that was put out there, you know, there are 8 states that forbid officials from even opening and starting to unfold the ballots until Election Day.
That's ridiculous.
Now,
good, Bob, because I think Biden was very effective in looking into the camera and like he's talking to you and me and all Americans. And Trump was always looking at him, looking at Biden. He, you know, his vision or looking at into the camera was few and far between. But Biden was very effective in that. I think, in terms of, like, he's talking to us and he's blowing off this idiot to his right.
Well, because to Trump, this was not a debate. It was a fight. It wasn't a debate in front of people. It was a fight between him and Biden.
Right. He was a cave
animal. He doesn't give a shit about the people. And by the way, let me make a comment about the notion that they can't start voting, counting votes until Election Day. I suspect – now, remember something. That is a rule for normal circumstances, and I suspect the reason that's there is, it, or at least part of it might be, if a person wants to change their mind. Or you don't, I mean, who knows? In any other normal, quote-unquote, circumstance, we wouldn't even think about – that wouldn't even be – it's been like that for how long? That's never even been a thing.
I don't know if Todd's still on the program or not, but do people – does anyone think there's going to be a second debate or no? Todd, I don't know if you're
around. I'm still here.
Still listening. Oh, hey, Todd. So do you think there's going to be a second debate, or what's your take on it?
I think there'll be a second debate because the Biden camp wants to make sure that people know Trump is what he appears to be. And I think they're going to have to do it, you know, make sure he's well-rested. Now, he's always had a speech impediment. That's a lifelong thing. And
right,
he's owned it and all that, but right, exactly. Just like right. He owned his son's issues.
Right.
See, he did better than I thought he was going to do. And I mean, that's just me. But as Steve said, people are already kind of in their camps, and you see what you want to see out of it. Now, the normal thinking people, and sometimes there are no two sides. See, this is the problem I see. We have good intentions, but it's harder for us to vote. Who's going to wait in line? Look what happened in where Mitch McConnell, his state, St. Louis, you know, the people were standing in line. There were hundreds of thousands of people at one voting place. See, it's harder for us to vote, even though we intend to vote. So you have to factor that, and I'm going to be quick. I'm trying to be quick, but you have to factor that.
No, take your time.
Well, I mean, there's so many other people in here.
No. We like to hear you talk, though, bro. Go.
I didn't know that. I don't really know.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm serious. But okay. I want to stay focused on this because this is something I used to do, you know?
Yeah.
So the polls. See, it's different. This particular event that we're measuring with polls is different. It's not like asking people, do you like, dislike, or are you ambivalent about peanut butter and jelly? It's not that. This is like a fully, this is the mother load of all the survey research and polling. Because it's loaded. There's so many people who are lying to pollsters. Because you have to wonder, and this is really breaking it down, why is the difference? Why isn't Biden ahead by 65-70%? That's what you have to ask yourself. It's what's not being asked. Because this is transcendent politics. This is about right and wrong. Go ahead, Darlene.
I'm sorry, Todd, you're bringing up a brilliant point, as usual, about how, because what it made me realize from a different angle is that is why mail-in voting due to COVID-19, right? There's always an upside and a downside to everything. Mail-in voting makes it easier to vote so that people aren't forced to have to stand in line and get frustrated and wind up turning away or saying, I can't take it anymore. And mail-in voting eliminates that. You just pop, you don't even have to pop a stamp on it, at least not in my state. You just fill the damn thing out, and you send it in, and you're done. Trump doesn't want that. The Republicans don't want that because they want them. You're right. They don't want to force people to have to stand in line in the cold and the snow and during COVID-19. So it's like, you're right. Under normal circumstances, they would be forced to do that, but at least, from what I'm seeing in my state, all you have to do, I have two excuses. I have a disability, so I can always check off, I'm physically disabled and I can't go to the polls. That's not true. As long as I have a wheelchair-accessible van, I can go. I'm still waiting for that, but I can go. But COVID is at the top of the list as an excuse, a viable, valuable, logical reason for why people may not physically want to go to the polls. So even it's a catch 22 for Trump, because he won't, you know, I think there's a part of him that wants to dominate and make people sick, but then there was a blowback, and that state started saying, well, you can't, it's going to be more difficult for you to vote in person due to COVID. So we're going to do the mail-ins. And they're like, oh, crap, now we have to go against the mail-in ballots.
Well, so, Darlene, I don't, you know, okay. Yeah. So this, with all that being said, how is this not going to be like an awful boxing match, in that there's going to be a lot of pain and blood and just injury? I don't see how this goes smoothly at all.
I agree. No, I agree. I think that's the aftermath, because there's a contingent, you know, his base that isn't going to stand for him losing. I agree. No, I don't necessarily think the two are mutually exclusive. I agree.
I just want to put this on the table. I'm concerned, and I get, you know, mail-in voting. Look what they've done to that. Because anyone who has military in their family, that's how you vote. You're stationed all over the world. You think?
Yeah.
To your point. Let me jump in here. To your point, real quick, because this is important. You know how they keep trying to say mail-in voting, the applications are going to create chaos. They know that's horseshit. And do you know why I know that they know this is horseshit? Because my 91-year-old mom that's in an assisted living center has a P.O. box. I get her mail, and guess who sent her one of these blanket applications? The RNC.
They're confusing, yeah.
Yeah,
they're
sowing chaos. Wrap your head around that. My 91-year-old mom, who's got final stages of dementia, is getting blanketed with the application from the RNC to vote. So do you think they're really concerned about shenanigans with mail-in voting? No. It's a smokescreen.
Well, it takes me back to Steve's point
where they're trying to create chaos.
And it's the opposite of the – I remember the voter who was in her 90s. She was an African-American woman who had voted in every election. And didn't they disenfranchise that poor woman? This was at the – I can't remember if it was during the second election of President Obama. So
– but if it was really an issue, would they be sending ballots to P.O. boxes? No, the RNC. No, they know it's not an issue. They know that mail can be done – voting by mail can be done responsibly. They know this. Yeah. It's just another arrow in their quiver to rat us out of the election.
Well, everybody, look what they've done. They have wrecked our post office. Just to fix this election. They have absolutely wrecked our – this guy, there's so much going on, we cannot keep track.
Yes. That's that sewing.
I work for people, we're supposed to get mail every day. And when I noticed we weren't getting mail every day, you know, this is not a private business. We're supposed to get mail every day. And I started, you know, keeping track. And I told my coworkers, I said, you know, they've cut back on mail service and they're not telling us. People, we get mail every two or three days now.
Wow.
So, I'm sorry. It's like pinprick. They're bleeding us to death with little stab wounds.
Yeah, you're right, Todd. It's like the 1,000 little baby, the chicks there that was killed. They were killed because they were supposed to be transported much more quickly through the Postal Service than they were. And I picked up bits and pieces of what you do, but I don't know if it sounds
Darlene,
like you're in
you heard
research.
That on NPR.
Yeah, so I don't know if you...
Me too.
Yeah.
I do archival work, and, you know, so okay. I work in that type of facility. But,
okay,
and I don't know what everybody else is thinking, but maybe we need to rethink how everything is working right now. Because And I don't know. I just want to listen to what anybody else has to say because this is really disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Well, one thing
we're in trouble.
We need solutions is what we need. We know there's a problem, but I don't hear any solutions.
Well, let me check in. Let's check in with the mailbag here real quick.
Okay.
Heard from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. I don't really know why I bothered watching that shit show, but I tried. I made a good stiff Bloody Mary for it, as somehow that seemed appropriate for it, as I pretty much knew what to expect. And I tried to watch it. I really did. I tried, but it was only able to watch for 20 minutes before I had to turn it off for the sake of my sanity. If I watched for another minute, I would have thrown an anvil through my TV. If I had a gun, I would have emptied it into the TV. Boy, go and get me the Elvis gun and a peanut butter and banana sandwich. I'm a shooting the TV. I would have emptied it into the TV. I was screaming at the top of my lungs as it was. My neighbors probably think I'm nuts, and I wouldn't have been surprised if you heard me, Bob, all the way from across the country. So I went and listened to Malloy instead, and Mike talked me back down with his show. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, a good debater? The way the debates are now? Yeah, who cares? So, you know, that.
I think some people needed reassurance that Biden's could put at least 3 or 4 partial sentences together. I mean, I'm not impressed by Biden's performance, but it didn't come across as if he had Alzheimer's. I think that was important for a lot of people, even people in the middle.
Well, you know what did impress me, Lou? What impressed me was the depth of his sincerity.
Well, that's, I think, what Steve and you and others have said. When he turned to the camera and spoke to us directly, I think those are the highlights of his performance. I think those are what mattered to people and got through to people. Actual other discussions were not impressive. He wasn't as rude as Trump, but I'm not impressed by former Vice President Biden either. But I'll certainly take him over Trump.
Well, the thing is, I know what kind of person I am. And I know what kind of person other members of this community are. And most of us would have been taking our jacket off and rolling up our shirt sleeves and saying, you know, get a little closer here. Say it within about 2 inches of my nose, bub. And it raises questions like, what would the Secret Service do if Joe Biden went over and cleaned his clock?
The other point I want to make for everyone, and Steve, I think, knows this as well as anyone, that although he hasn't paid much in income taxes, and I didn't read the New York article, I read a summary, I guess, in another paper, but he did pay alternative minimum taxes, not a lot, but he did pay those. So they're being pretty precise when they say he didn't pay federal income taxes. It's a little misleading, but still you would think of someone's a mega billionaire, they'd be paying more than he ended up paying in alternative minimum taxes. Just for a sophisticated audience, I thought I'd mention that.
It would be nice if there's another debate that Biden looks into the camera and just does kind of a mea culpa and say, hey, look, you know, I have a disability. I have a speech impediment. And I can't, you know, just because I may not be able to come back as quickly enough when I'm, you know, constantly interrupted by a desperate President Trump doesn't mean I'm going to be a bad leader. Doesn't mean I'm going to be a bad leader.
I think that would be a
mistake. You know, and come forward and say that. I disagree. I think that his stating that is sincere, like Bob said, and basically is saying it's superficial. When it comes right down to it, it's superficial. And Trump is all about superficiality.
Bob, I've got a question for you, my friend, if you're there right now.
I'm here.
You said a long time ago that our generation's never had a hill to climb, and you said, well, maybe COVID is their hill to climb. Maybe you were close, but maybe saving our democracy might be our hill to climb. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. That's why that goes hand in hand with what I said earlier about voting for Joe Biden will be the single most patriotic act I've ever performed in my life.
But what if, and this is a horrible scenario, but what if voting doesn't work? Then what?
Well, I was going to suggest, why don't we get together in the big march on Washington when Trump challenges all this in court, whenever that occurs? That might be a nice place to meet.
I hate to even go there, you know. But...
oh, come on.
I don't mean go to Washington. I mean, I hate to go to that scenario. What if voting doesn't work? I can't believe I'm even uttering the sentence, you know.
I give it a 90% chance that he's going to be challenging this in court, and it's going to be dragged on, and there will be protests. So we might want to plan ahead for a social.
That's what I mean. This might be our challenge, saving the democracy. It's going to be a tough one.
One thing that I noticed in the debate last night, where I actually felt Trump was effective, was when he kept saying over and over again, in response to the pandemic, he kept saying, as in Biden, is going to shut the country down. He wants to shut the country down. And he's right, because the only way, and Bob, you said it on the program multiple times, the only way to really move forward with COVID-19 is essentially to shut the country down and get everybody wherein we essentially starve the virus. I didn't really see where Biden came back with an effective response. He kept saying he's going to shut the country down, to the point where it seemed like Trump himself was visibly freaked out about that, which means it probably is something that's going to hit him in the pocket. So,
well, remember, he's got 300. Remember, Darlene, remember, he's got $300 million of debt service coming due soon.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I'm feeling like that's part and parcel of what's going on there, but Biden never responded to it. He never owned it. He never...
In some sense, he said we have to deal with the coronavirus so that we can get moving on with business. That is...
Well, I don't know if he said that during the debate, but he said it during the convention. But he never directly responded.
I thought he said it last night. I thought he said
it. Maybe I missed it. But he never came out and not... I don't feel he was effective in okay. coming back with well, some... And maybe in the next debate, you'll
catch some now.
Before you can fix the economy.
Say again?
Biden said you have to address the pandemic.
I heard that.
Faith's been trying to jump in here, and everybody keeps walking all over. Faith, what do you got to say?
Go, Faith.
Actually, I do have a solution.
Okay, good.
I wish it were my idea, but it's not. I heard it today on Tom Hartman. Representative Mark Pocan was on. It was his idea, and he said for the next debates, we should have Trump be put in one of those electric shock dog collars. So every time he interrupts, you just shock him.
Well, that's a little less messy. That's a little less messy than my water tank. If you don't count him shitting and pissing on the floor.
But Darlene, your point indirectly is well made, that it was hard to hear much of what many people said because they were particularly President Trump was talking over Vice President Biden a lot. And to a certain extent, vice versa. But so that made it hard to pick up a lot of what they said.
Exactly. Yes, I would agree 100% with that. But I feel like Trump was using the fear factor. You know, he wants to shut the country down.
Oh, we're going to lose our suburbs. You know that, don't you? I forget exactly why you said it this time, but we're going to lose our suburbs.
Because God forbid, you know, some black family move next door or something. Yeah.
And I thought Joe had a good retort to that, too. He, you know, he was a little cumbersome with his delivery, but he did have a good retort to it.
So he I would have...
The 50s anymore. He said, you know... Go ahead, Todd.
I didn't mean to talk over you. I took it off speaker and I was slow.
Oh, it's okay.
You know, this is something that this family understands, this community understands. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. But this whole shift benefits Russia.
Yes.
And or some other countries, but mostly Russia.
Yep.
Everything that this president is doing in foreign policy, including his little lackey, the substandard student from West Point, you know, weakening, you read the paper now, you see that we're weakening our defenses in Europe. That's exactly what Russia wants. They want a warm water port. They want less NATO. They want to do away with the sanctions. Every decision, it almost, to a T.
Well, you know, I think my cynical view on that is that I believe it was one of the Arab oil little countries that has lots of money that helped bail out Kushner. And I think Donald Trump is trying to line up his own bailout down the road, either Russian oligarchs or Middle East potentates. I really think that's what's going on. That's why he's cozying up to these folks, just like Jared Kushner got bailed out.
Right, and I agree with you. I don't think that Biden really capitalized on that. He could have capitalized on that last night, and I don't think he did. But maybe this is more or less getting his feet wet, and he'll come out swinging, hopefully, in the next debate. And that's my hope.
Todd, how are things in South Carolina? I believe you're in South Carolina. How are the Senate race there?
We have plenty of mosquitoes.
No, and, I mean the Senate race.
Oh, the Senate race. Oh, it's exciting. You know, Jamie Harrison, it is really something. And I'm glad you brought that up. The politics here is interesting. And, it's good to have Jamie having a showing, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Because this is such an overlap between this federal election. And the people I've talked with who are reasonable, they're not voting for Biden because they think that his health is bad and that they're not really ready for Kamala Harris to be president.
Well, that's all we have. Are we going to still do psychotic? Or, like, come on.
Hi, Faith.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Incidentally, he did call, he did refer to Trump as Putin's puppy last night. He did get that dig in, or at least I remember hearing it.
And I think if you look at the two of them, I think that unfortunately Trump came out more aggressive, stronger, more manly, that kind of thing. What I would like to see is I would love to see Biden essentially kind of get down into the mud a little bit and look at him directly and say, you took 5 deferments for Bones. Right, Faith?
Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones Spurs, you're a wimp. You're a wimp ass.
See, Darlene just went all Bridgeport.
You know what I think? I would have loved to have seen him do.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
It is.
I would have loved to have, when he mentioned Bo, like you put your hand on your forehead like you're looking out in a crowd, and he would have done that, looked out in the crowd and said, will any Trump child please raise your hand if you served in the military? Oh, I don't see anybody look, and no raised hands, just making sure. But I'm going to say one more thing, then I'm going to shut up for a while, if not the rest. I hear what Darlene's saying, and everyone's saying they want to see Biden do this and they want to see Biden do that. My thought is, why? People's minds are made up. They're made up. It doesn't matter. But what is that? What is that? I mean, it might even fire up.
It helps Reagan. It helps Reagan, Steve. There you go again, he said.
But Reagan,
there you
behind.
Go again. So it helped him. So I don't accept that.
He was behind.
Who was behind?
Reagan was behind when he said that.
And it worked.
But there were actually undecided people too. It was not as polarizing as it is now. Who's going to be convinced?
He doesn't need to lose ground either. We don't know.
Steve, sometimes you do preach to the choir, okay? Sometimes the preacher does turn around and preach to the choir because the choir can give you the loudest amens.
Fair enough. I heard some
people who are concerned about Biden's competence. And there's still, to hell with those people.
Well, hold on, please. I think this is kind of important. See, there are still a lot of people out there who say things like, well, Biden wasn't my first choice or even my fifth, but I guess I'll vote for him.
Go ahead.
And if Biden comes out swinging and really puts one right into Trump's jaw, it might motivate some of those weaker Biden supporters just to see that there was somebody in it who had some fight in him.
That all falls accurate. That's what I'm thinking. Yep.
Yeah, but I don't expect that. So.
Well, he got close to it though, Joey. He got close to it because he said, shut the hell up, man. He kind of got close to it.
He called him a fucking clown.
Yes, that's right. He called him a clown, too.
He said he was the worst president ever. I mean, and like I said, more insulting than that.
The one that just got lost that was probably the best zinger of the night, as I mentioned during the filibobster, was when he looked at him and said, they were talking about COVID, and he said, well, using Trump's own words against him, well, it is what it is because you are what you are. And that word what, as opposed to who, means something.
Yeah.
He's not a person. He's a thing.
Right.
Now, if he did that on the fly, that's impressive.
That is.
That's very impressive.
I'm personally hung up on, I think, what Steve and the gentleman from South Carolina referring to, that 36% of people are maggots no matter what, come hell or high water. And it's just awkward for me to live in the same country with these folks.
That's true.
I agree, Lou, but what's the solution? I mean, I don't want to move to
education,
you.
Education?
Yeah.
Can I, the other thing that I noticed too, correct me if I'm wrong, because the conversation we're having here is reminding me of this, is that Joe Biden, and I hope he gets a voice coach or somebody, not necessarily for his stutter, but to project his voice a bit louder. Because Trump is very good at, as a woman, I've been drowned out by men.
Exactly.
Who
I
want
right.
to.
Yeah.
You're right, Joe. He speaks very softly, and I feel like he needs, if there was a way for him to make his voice louder and more dominant, I think that would help a lot, because a lot of what he said was almost like he's in that intimate setting of just, it was a small audience, the three of them on the stage. I feel like he needs to project his voice a little bit better and be more dominant with just his vocal cords. I know that sounds stupid, but that was one of the things. Like, I can barely hear him over Trump.
Darlene.
Yes, Todd.
You know what? Not Darlene. First of all, I think it's great near in Connecticut. It's a beautiful place, and the stone walls and all that good stuff.
Thank you.
Millbrook and Danbury and all that. Yeah. But, the problem is that the leader of the free world, as we used to call it, just refuses to follow the rules.
You're right.
Even biased Chris Wallace.
Right.
To call him out.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Tom.
And he was in an awkward position because, honestly, like in a real debate, I'm sorry, he would have been escorted out. Like, I'm sorry, you just cannot continue. I've told you, Chris, and see, he is constantly putting us in a bad position where you want to respect the office of the presidency, right? Because it's about the office. It's not about the person.
But sometimes it is about the person. And this is where we are. And that's why what Joe Biden said, what Bob just said about in his filibuster was so poignant, because that was when Joe Biden was looking at his best. He was sharp. That was sharp. You know, he still got it in him.
But you know what? You know what, Todd, about Wallace? Trump was so egregious that Wallace actually said, you know, confronted him and said, you're by far the worst in terms of interruptions. And basically, you know, was sort of like, you know, a school marm scolding the little boy, which is basically something that, you know, Wallace actually was forced to step outside of himself, as you had just described him.
And thank God he did.
And that was interesting. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that, but it was interesting because, you're right.
Well, Chris Wallace is, by God, a senior journalist at Fox. I mean, you don't just get to run over Chris Wallace. See, that's what happened. He finally intruded into Chris Wallace's privilege, and then Chris Wallace got his backup.
And he's tentative when it comes to dealing with Donald Trump, but Trump's behavior was so you're right. It was so egregious, Todd and Bob. Trump's behavior was so egregious that it forced Wallace to have to kind of sort of stand up to him.
Right.
Well, do you remember what Wallace?
Right, yeah. Oh yeah.
At one point.
Amen.
At one point. Trump said, well, can I ask a question? And Wallace said, no. And he started talking. He said, I said, no. And you know what? I think we need to stop using the word egregious. Use the word juvenile.
Well, he was sent to essentially a juvenile reform school. He was sent to military school for this and other reasons, his misbehavior.
But he's acting like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, it is.
He's a 10-year-old.
Where are you, Lou? I'm curious.
I moved back to Pennsylvania. I was in California. Now, where I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Where in Pennsylvania?
In a little town called Enola. It's outside of Harrisburg, and it's a very conservative area. When I was growing up.
Oh, man, that's Klan country.
It's what?
Klan country.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far. But when I was growing up, I was told it's more reliably Republican than Utah in my county. So I am surrounded by Trump signs. I'm a Bernie supporter. So there you go.
Well, yeah. See, that area is like a little amoeba, and it bleeds down into Elkton and a little bit over.
It does.
You're right. Yeah, I know.
I mean, in the Depression, we voted Republican.
let me throw a couple of things out there along the way. A little while back, regarding the debate, Jeremy in Vermont said about 10 minutes after the debate last night, the right wing uploaded a video to Facebook, which showed Biden adjust his jacket and showed a small dark line near his collar, and therefore they began to howl and bark and grunt that it was their proof he was wearing a wire. Jeremy adds, fucktards. Some other things. Let's see. Heard from Dave number 11, who just sort of injected... well, he said, first of all, enjoying the show immensely. Love having Steve from Georgia Stan and my favorite Todd on. And, hey, Faith, too, as well as Darlene. Dave number 11 offered up some wonderful praise of Darlene's conversation last night on social media earlier today. Well, you saw it. You saw it, Darlene. You responded to it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, on Facebook. Thank you. Yes, yeah. Yes. Hey, Dave.
And then injecting some food porn into the conversation, because food porn scored, get this, I'm just sitting here salivating, scored a Humboldt grass-fed organic brisket. Todd, this is going to kill you.
Oh.
Scored a Humboldt grass-fed organic brisket for $1.99 a pound, regularly $8.99 a pound. It was untrimmed, and now I know where they get the fat to make the hamburger, LOL. It's underway.
Damn.
It's underway, Bobby Flay style. Ooh, that's going to be some good... Oh, that's going to be some good brisket. Yum, 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 yum. And stole it, too. It's even tastier when you steal it. By all means, let us know how it turned out, Dave. Dan, with a note. Last night's debate, I'm concerned that Trump's belligerent style was very intentional. By sowing chaos, he may turn off voters. Trump's base is lapping it up, but fewer voters hurts Biden more. That's true. Yeah, it was another form of voter suppression. It's a way to, and it plays into some shit that I'm sure that's already going down on social media with the usual suspects pushing it along. Oh, they're all the same. It's no point to it, you know. There's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. You can at least vote green and help them get federal funding. I mean, just to give you an idea of how fucked up things can be. We're trying to get rid of Jim Justice here in West Virginia. And we have a Democratic nominee for governor. His name's Ben Salango. And I voted for him. He's a Democrat. I voted for the Democrats. Just the same, so the AFL-CIO and the Labor Council and everything, Labor Councils all over West Virginia, endorsed Salango. And so lo and behold, there's a member of the E-Board in one of these Labor Councils who's actually a third-party candidate for governor. He sits on an e-board that endorsed the Democratic candidate, and he's running against it. What a fucking moron. I know it's not Monday or anything. It's not even Titanic Tuesday, but Jesus Christ. That's how hard it is. So, you know, I'm sure, like I said, there are elements of the sparkle fart-propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol out there saying, well, you know, vote third party. And it's being promulgated here in West Virginia. Well, Trump's going to run away with it in West Virginia. So, you know, vote for the Mountain Party candidate for president. Fuck. Really? In 2020, with the country on fire, and you can't even stand down long enough to try to put the fire out? Going back to the matter of Joe Biden's voice, I know what you're talking about, Darlene. It's a matter of projection. And I don't mean psychological projection. I mean using the powers of the diaphragm to force the oxygen up through and out past your larynx and make a big sound. Trump is very good at that.
Exactly.
Biden isn't. I guess he's never, you know, most of his retail politicking has been literally face to face and shaking hands and hi, I'm Joe. And not so much of the standing up on the stump and hollering, now listen here. He's not so good at that.
The debate.
He needs that.
Debate club.
The other part of it is I think he might verge a little bit more toward a tenor. Whereas Trump goes more toward a baritone and a bass.
A bass, yeah.
And he knows
how to use it.
Right.
To dominate.
And that's going to make his voice stronger, too.
That's a baritone.
Yeah, Joe. Baritone. Is Tracy listening in by chance? I'd love to get her impressions of last night's debate. I heard from
Tracy last night during the debate.
Okay.
She just said,
cool.
Can't take this shit. Can you believe this shit?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm having to listen to it sober without a cigarette. Are you kidding me? And I've made that reference to Odysseus and the crew with their ears stopped up with the wax and rowing past the sirens. You know, they're all deaf as a post as they're rowing along. And Odysseus wanted to hear what the sirens sounded like because it was so said to be so hypnotic, maddening, whatever. You know, you can in the case of last night with me in the role of Odysseus and everybody else just rowing along, I'm screaming, give me the beeswax! For fuck's sake! Give me the beeswax! but everybody else has the beeswax in their ear and can't hear me. No, really, I can't take it, please. But there was no beeswax. Let's see, what else? Shorty in L.A. With a note says, protest must include several large video screens. Every 10 minutes, flashcards on the screen at the protest with the words Article 2, Section 4 from the U.S. Constitution. The president and the vice president and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office. Lawrence Tribe brought this up several times over the past 6 months. We cannot let them resign without punishment. We could not let them do anything. And we cannot wait for Election Day, and we have to start right now. I understand what Shorty's saying. And that's another consideration down the road, because it's been a possibility all along. And that is, if he loses badly enough that he can't throw it into the courts, that he can't make a mess of it.
I just don't see that happening.
If he can't, it can happen. Even
if he loses bad enough, he'll still throw it in the courts. But go ahead.
He can try, but there still has to be something to adjudicate.
Yes, yes. And I mean, all the ballots sent out unrequested. But go ahead, Don. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. Make your point.
But the possibility is that if he's not president, if it becomes obvious that he's not going to be president at 12 noon on January 20th, 2021, that's when you look for the resignation. Because he has to have it.
Well,
because that statute of limitations, that statute of limitations has not run on that charge in which he is individual one. Or any other potential federal indictments there might be.
And you're saying Pence will then
pardon him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have to make a big brouhaha out of it. Just take away his security clearance, take away all his transportation, Air Force One, the helicopter, and tell him, you have to leave now. You are now trespassing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a big, ugly scene, you know?
But again, if he's pardoned, that's limited. It can still be nailed.
Letitia James can still go right after him.
Right.
I want a perp walk.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't, Steve?
Orange jumpsuit and shackles on the
and the wire handcuffs. Yeah, the wire tie.
Come on, Steve. Can't somebody take the book? Trump Hotel.
Oh, Bob, did you see the thing from Eric Trump saying he's not gay?
Oh yeah, I mentioned that in the first hour when you were Eric Trump, I'm not gay. Gay community, we're so glad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hey, guess what? Even if you were, even if you were homosexual, we would not take you as gay. In the same way, we would not take Roy Cohn, who was a, what did he call himself? A man who has sex with other men.
But was not.
He was not gay. There's a conversation that Al Pacino has with somebody in, was it Angels in America where Al Pacino played Roy Cohn? Bueller?
I think, was it? Yeah. Not sure.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine who had a lot of dealings with him, former law school classmate, who was very active in politics on the Hill and in real estate in D.C., during that time, and he told me all about all of the the horrid, disgusting people, you know, like Cohn and frankly Reagan. I mean, my friend Jack had nothing good to say, and you know what, Bob? I thought of you the other day. I've been listening to your Filthy Morning Habit. When they get on there and talk about back when the conservatives had values, and they get some guy on there talking about, oh, Ronald Reagan inspired me, and I'm like, you mean old racist Neshoba County welfare queen, that old the one who brought us Silent Sam Pierce and James Watt. And I don't know if anybody remembers that horrible quote unquote joke that Watt told about Yeah, I don't know if you remember it, Bob, what I'm talking about.
I can't remember the joke exactly, but yeah.
It was something about talking about a diverse cabinet. It had a black, a white, a black, a woman, and the word he used was a cripple. And it's like, dude, you know, when I hear that shit, when I hear Trump, you want to go, you do know we can hear you, right? That's not your internal dialogue. We can hear you. You know that, right? Yes, and I don't care because I speak what's on my mind.
Well, that's yeah. No, that's again. That's part of the list of things I wish Biden would have got in there. But then again, if there's three debates, he's got to save. He's got to keep some powder dry, because at some point in time, now that we know he won't denounce white supremacists, the next step is to build on that in the next debate and say, well, of course he wouldn't denounce white supremacists. He's the son of a Klansman, and he and his daddy got busted for being racist landlords by the federal government.
And he can't denounce his own base. You know what I would love to see Biden do is give him a gift. Here's a gift, Donald. It's some brand new sheets. What do you think? And here's some lighter. I'm going to give you a new lighter and a little torch you can use there to light your cross. And
here's some scissors for the eye holes.
Oh, absolutely.
Bob, yeah. There you go.
And here's a number to a really good rehab place for your son, Don.
Yeah, what about for him?
Say again?
What about for him? This is, I've heard other people say this is elder abuse. The current president, you know, probably needs to be in an institution where he can get the help he needs and he can leave us alone, you know, and just get out of the way. But his kids refuse to do that because they're milking him. You know, they're signing deals in China while he's talking about, I hate China, I'm not doing business with China. And, you know, come on.
Oh, don't. Oh, my. That's a great posting in the chat there. Thank you, Mr. President, for wearing the mask. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, Sparky.
Oh, and speaking of the mask. Speaking of the masks, last night he tried to palm it off on Dr. Fauci.
Well, you know, Dr. Fauci said masks weren't good. Then he said they were good.
And Fauci today said, no, I'm not going to wear this one. Anybody who's been anywhere around me knows that I always say wear a mask.
At the beginning, though, he said it wasn't necessary. I mean, way at the beginning.
Yeah, way.
Yeah,
but even then,
masks,
even then.
So few of them.
Even then, Lou, he wasn't saying they were utterly useless. What he was saying is a mask won't protect you, but it may protect others.
I think even before that, he said it's just unnecessary. I mean, we're talking January, but...
Well, that's when Todd was wearing a bandana around his
was
face.
So that we would buy all the masks so that the healthcare providers could get them, which, again...
Yeah,
this
is a smart idea, too.
Oh, and in regard to Reagan... since old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, was brought up, Matt in San Francisco chimes in, and this ain't funny. This is just real. And I suspect that there are a lot of people who feel exactly like Matt does. Another corrupt GOP president. I will forever remember him. Every time I think of all my contemporaries who died of AIDS during his reign.
Mm. Todd, are you able to see the chat? Because the thank you, Mr. President, for wearing your mask. The mask is the hood of a KKK, of a Klansman.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, it's a picture that Sparky posted. It's excellent. Thank you, Mr. President, for wearing your mask. Coming in the debate, coming from Wallace, looking at Trump, and Trump's wearing wearing a Klansman headpiece mask. Yeah. Yeah.
Did everyone hear?
You know,
go ahead, Todd.
I just have to restate the obvious, but it's so powerful that Chris Wallace had to say, "Do you denounce white supremacy?" And he said, "Well, what do you want to call these people?
I know.
What?" And he knows damn well what they are.
Right. Todd, you just read my mind. And today, Ethan Downs even saying it. Crowd boys, who are they? And the only reason he said that is because Brian Kilmeade called him out on him on Fox News. Brian Kilmeade said he probably ruined the biggest layup in the history of debates. So then, when the helicopter blades were going, he's given those interviews where, you know, he's got the safety of the helicopter blades because he can always rescind something because, well, I couldn't hear over the helicopter blades. No, he actually came out and said, the Proud Boys, who are that? I don't even know who they are.
Okay. See, this is what – and, you know, Bob, you just – everybody. But, Bob, I'm disappointed with you. You just brushed over the brown shirts. And listen, everybody in this community – we cannot be stifled when we make the comparison between 1938 Europe, and I only have to say the country, because we have have a timeline.
Agnes said something very similar today, Todd, just a few hours ago. She said, it's almost like nobody realizes how close this is to 1939.
You're kidding. Well, that's the...
Why 39? I'm not saying you're wrong, but why 39?
Because 1930. That's the last moments before the world descended into war.
Yeah. Okay. What?
It was like all that water behind the dam, and it just opened up. Boom. They were ready. Boom. And that was it. See, and they've made us think we can't say that. We can't say, well, you're acting as if you're Nazis, even though. Homeland Security. Look at that uniform. We talked about that before.
Well, they wave fucking Nazi flags for crying out loud at their damn rallies. I mean, really.
And, you know, if that's how people want to believe, I mean, this is America. You can have your little clubs, but maybe you shouldn't be in certain occupations because it takes an exceptional person not to bring your personal baggage to work, your biases. And unless you're trained in social sciences, it's difficult. I mean, most people are not reflective. Most people don't go to bed before, you know, at night and think, what did I do good today? What did I do bad?
Yeah, I noticed that, like, which is really weird because I've always been that way. And so I think you always kind of think other people are that way.
That empathetic?
Now I'm realizing they're not.
Bob, someone did post in the chat room a little article that says the claim that Fauci said we don't have to wear a mask is quote-unquote outdated. He did say it a long, long time ago, as the article points out, as was everyone else, and I wasn't too thrilled about it at the time. But he at the very beginning, he did say that. And I took that to mean they were trying to make sure all the masks went to the doctors, because presumably if it's good for doctors, it can't be bad for people either. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not sure who posted it.
Is that Lou?
That was Steve. Yeah, that's Lou.
Can I piggyback on you for a minute? I think you're absolutely correct. But see, that's we didn't have enough data yet.
Yeah, wasn't that also at a time when people were fucking hoarding toilet paper?
Yes,
and were losing their shit.
Well, there was a lot going on, and then remember, even the president said, well, you know, a scarf wouldn't be bad. Now. Because, Bob, you brought it up. Remember when this story popped up, Bob, you said, oh, my God, this has legs. When, in other words, when I say this story, I'm talking about when Trump knew that this disease, this was all going to be just exploding. He had the briefing, what he admitted to Woodward. Remember, we thought it was in, it was in November. It was in the fall into the early winter. He knew that.
Well, he was briefed by the medical bureau, the medical intelligence agency of, what is it, DNI, somewhere between the 16th and the 19th of November. He went lickety split to Walter Reed on November the 19th.
Yeah.
And that story specifically said that the White House and the Pentagon were briefed.
Didn't the Israelis do it?
Which is, no. There's an Israeli connection, but the Israelis were briefed at the same time. You know who wasn't briefed? Congress. The Gang of Eight wasn't briefed.
I'm going to bring up a subject you touched on very briefly, and just, it's an FYI. are you sure the Israelis taught those tactics to our policemen? The reason I say that is, in the United Kingdom, a woman named Rebecca Long Bailey, who was had a shot at becoming prime minister under Labour, at least leader of the Labour Party, reposted an article that made that claim, and she was demoted summarily out of the Labour Party leadership because, you know, their anti-Semitism issues. So you're sure that that is accurate?
It was accurate when we were reporting it, when 100%. Ferguson was going on.
100%.
100%, okay. Well, like I said, I don't know. Okay.
The IDF, I mean, it's there's nothing anti-Jewish about it. It's just that's the fact.
They have it that way, as if the Israelis are, you know, fascists and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they are towards the Palestinians, and that's the basis of it.
Well, that's why I think Rebecca got into trouble.
June 26, 2020. It is true that some U.S. police forces have been trained by Israeli law enforcement officials over the last two decades.
Well, okay. That's her battle to fight then. Sorry to bring up such an obscure, out-of-the-way point. I think the most important point is, Todd, you've got to get out there and get the Democratic senatorial candidate elected. We're counting on you. That's probably the most important election.
Well, we're counting on Todd and all our other and David in South Carolina, yes. Stan, and all our friends to get Jamie Harrison into office. But, you know, Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy have their own damn job to do in Georgia.
Absolutely. And
that is
Lieberman out of the way.
You got to run that little shitbird Matt Lieberman right out of the race. So the Reverend Warnock has a chance to be to harvest the votes of normal people, while Kelly to the right of Attila the Hun Loeffler and Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins try to fight over the Klansman and Nazi vote.
And the burning question is, who is behind Lieberman staying in when he knows he doesn't have a chance to win?
Oh, come on. You really got to ask, Steve? Really?
Well, yeah. No, I don't, Bob. But God damn it, it pisses me off, and it needs to be said.
Yeah. Well, say it. Say who's behind Matt Lieberman.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the honors, friend.
The fucking GOP.
Absolutely. Ding, 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 ding.
Via his creepy, traitorous, filthy old daddy.
Yep. Who rat fucked us in 2000.
Emperor Palpatine slash Elmer Fudd.
That is happening right here, right now. That happens from the low level all the way up. In other words, I used to think it was weird. You know, it was just fictitious. People would take money to be a disruptor. People do that. They will take money just to be a disruptor, to split the vote.
Well, no, Matt Lieberman's not. That's not what's going on with Matt Lieberman, Todd. Matt Lieberman is in
it. Oh, I misunderstood.
No, okay. He's not just being a disruptor. Matt Lieberman is in there to make sure a Republican stays in that Senate seat. Because that's what Lieberman's do.
Yeah, the mole.
Was that yesterday you were talking about just that weird history he has and what he engages in.
That creepy ass novel that he wrote with the with the magical Negro in it. Yeah.
I was like this guy can't do this.
Can I make a suggestion? And this really, and maybe everyone thinks I'm just being too esoteric here. It bugs me that we call these people Nazis. They're not Nazis, they're fascists.
Yeah, because Nazis dress better?
No, because Nazis are German.
They parted their hair on the side.
I mean, the Nazis were always the best dressed fascists. I mean, Jesus, those SS uniforms by Hugo Boss, please.
Bob, I'm going to beg to differ. I'm going to say that they weren't just the best dressed fascists; they were the best dressed soldiers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it only took 70 years for the United States Army, 60 years for the United States Army to come up with the physics and the engineering to understand why those fucking coal scuttle helmets were better than our little pie plate doughboy helmets.
Yeah.
And it only took 60 years for the U.S. Army and the rest of the ground forces to come up with, hey wait, what did the, and you're going to know this word, Steve, because you know you've got your Deutsch, Feldgrau.
Is that the camouflage uniforms?
Feldgrau, field gray.
Field gray. Mm-hmm.
And so the digitized grayish colored BDUs that the military wears now, yeah, got that from Germany too.
I think the SS might have been the first with the camouflage with all the green and browns.
The Afrika Korps.
Mm, did they wear camouflage like that? Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was the SS. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, it's not the Afrika Korps. It's the Afrika Korps. I know. In German, you pronounce all the words. Yeah. I know it sounds weird.
You pronounce it. Yeah, you pronounce all the letters. It ain't French.
Yeah. All the letters, yeah.
Yeah. Afrika Korps. Yeah, yeah. Und yummy. But, really. No, I tend to agree with you, but the problem is there's so much overlap, Steve, because there really are no kidding Nazis in America. And so we tend to say if it steps like a goose and it honks like a goose, it's a Nazi.
Which, let me tell you why I always found that so weird, was because first and foremost, Hitler's ideology was pro-German and anti-everybody else. So,
oh, he hated Mussolini.
Well, he hated everybody. I mean, they were allies of convenience. The only reason he was allies with the Japanese is because, well, they need somebody over there in the Pacific, and well, they're kind of on our side.
And to keep the United States busy.
Yes, had he had his druthers? I mean. When I see these idiots with their swastikas and doing their Heil Hitler, I just want to take them aside and go, you realize if you were in Germany in the 30s, you'd have been in a concentration camp because you aren't them. You get that? And you have your head shaved there, but you don't have blonde hair I can see. You don't have blue eyes I can see. You're a fat piece of shit.
But I think we default to the Nazis. We default to the Nazis, Steve. Because
everyone knows who they are.
Well,
and they're very evil.
Well, no, well, yeah, kinda. Except for the fact that survey that I was talking about a few days ago, where only 38% of Americans 16 to 28 know what the Holocaust was.
Oh my God!
So there's that, but the other part of it is, and really, I mean, this is shallow, but the Italian fascists. We're good at imposing fascism inside Italy, but they weren't worth a shit on the road. And they walked around with those little knee socks with the fucking tassels. Wait, who's... What in the fuck?
Who's cracking ice?
I don't know, but, you know, the Italian fascists and the Spanish fascists walked around with those little knee socks on the tassels with them. You know, that ain't macho. That's not muscular. That's not powerful. Oh hell no. So the Italians turned out to be bad at it. You know, the Spanish were only good at it inside Spain.
And you know what, Bob? I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I mean, notwithstanding what they did to the Ethiopians, but the Italian fascism was like the truest kind of fascism, where it was the intermingling of business and state.
Right. Because
Hitler had that too, but that wasn't his primary focus in the same way that it was in Italy, I don't think.
Right. Because the comparison between Hitler and Mussolini, and Flavio got after me about this months and months ago, quit comparing Trump to Mussolini. Mussolini was actually an intelligent man. And he was. So, you know, Mussolini, if you read his history, he has an evolution. He starts in one place and winds up in another, and he documents and he describes and he makes an argument for why he's doing what he's doing all along the way, as opposed to, you know, the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache who's, you know, writing a book called My Struggle and stands in front of crowds and hollers, Hobbins in Gehot, Hotten Gevorten sein. And, you know, there.
I believe Lenin identified Mussolini as a rising star back when he was a socialist.
Yeah, because he and he was what, a college professor? He was a journalist, philosophically trained. But, you know, in the end, it really didn't matter because he wound up hanging by his heels with his girlfriend, Clara, from the standard of a gas station in Milan.
Yeah, strung him up by his Buster Browns. I don't really get, I don't understand
Six
the goose
Semper
step.
Fascisti.
What is that about? I don't get that. The high kick like that, I posted something in the chat.
Because it's
Russian,
just impressive. It's
just,
impressive
just
as hell.
2019. And it's a high kick, and it's like it doesn't seem very functional to me. Throw out your hip or whatever, but I just don't get it.
It's because it's because so it's machine like, Darlene.
Yeah. So
it cool. makes it, among other things. What is it? You know there are certain things you can do with your clothing that'll make you look taller than you are. You know, they say black is slimming. There are certain things that women will do with their makeup to de-emphasize flaws on their face and things like that. A goose step makes an army look bigger than it is when it's on parade.
And it's kind of an aggressive step, and I think you can choreograph it, and you can clearly see the choreography rather than just marching.
Well, it's hyperextension of the knees. Yep. It's you've got.
Oh, I don't think it. You can't do it for. You can't get very far if you do it. You
know, yeah, I mean it's you know, clearly
3 miles a day doing the goose step.
And yeah, everyone
just,
in
just marching shit is hard to learn at first.
Well, I've always found the our U.S. military when they do the pomp and circumstance, the there's a word for it is fascinating.
What, the manual of arms?
What?
The manual of arms?
Yeah, it's very measured. It's slow. It's, you know, we saw bits of it at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's.
Oh, and every changing of the guard at Arlington at the Santa Fe.
Yeah. But the goose step is like, and just looking at the pic from 2019 in Red Square in Moscow, All the men are very they're trim, they're all rigid, it's interesting.
And they
have the folded arm.
Right, and they look like a machine.
Yeah, and they waste a lot of time learning that too.
And it's like coming from taking from the Revolutionary War, right? Wasn't that, you know, the Americans were considered the guerrilla? They were the guerrilla war, doing the ones that did the guerrilla warfare, hiding in the bushes.
Yeah, but it does have a real purpose, Darlene. Because, and we're running out of time here, and I got to take Ferg to work. But it has a real purpose. To a certain extent, it is a matter of arcana. But in terms of infantry movement, being able to execute certain forms of movement begins with learning how to march. It begins, and that's why Sparky can tell you. It doesn't matter what service you're in. They teach you how to fucking march.
Yeah, 50 years ago, I was in basic training.
It's not easy.
Yeah, left face, right face, about face, all of that, and so. On the second day at Gettysburg in July of 1863, an officer who had snuck away from Bowdoin College in Maine because he couldn't get permission to serve in the Union Army and badly wanted to, was a lieutenant, maybe a captain, I think a captain. And they were about to be overrun on Little Round Top. And he ordered a truly arcane infantry maneuver that had one portion of his group swing like a gate 90 degrees to the rest of the line. And he only knew that maneuver because he had read the arcana of maneuver. And because he executed that maneuver, he stopped a Confederate flanking action on them and saved the day and drove the traitors away so that the Union won, I think it was the second day, at Gettysburg. And that guy's name was Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. He got shot all to pieces. They couldn't run him out of the war. Nicotine patch, if you can't tell. And he was a decorated hero by the end of the war, and went on to become governor of Maine. It's bizarre when you think that there's a line of portraits somewhere in the capital, in Maine, what is it, Augusta, that includes Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, and then a lot of portraits down, that stupid maggot fucker that got ran out of there in, what, 2018? You remember him? The racist? But,
yeah, but yeah, I can't remember the name.
Precisely, but we remember Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Mm. So,
he was kind of a short, squat dude, you know, kind of chubby with glasses.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce called him the human bowling jacket. and he was just nasty. So we've come to the end of the program, and thereby come to the end of September. Sparky, you going to keep the back porch going?
Yeah, as long as anybody's in there, it's going.
All right. Well, the back porch will continue after the broadcast ends. Like I said, I got to get on the road and get Ferg to work.
We love you, Bob. Be safe.
Oh, thank you, Faith. Thank you so very much.
Love you.
I'm surprised you're even with us, Bob, because you were Ubering while the debate was going on. That must have been torture to have to listen to that while you were driving. you must have been wigging out behind the wheel.
Well, you know, Malloy has that song he plays on Friday by the guys in the band that he's friends with. They were called Driving and Crying. I was driving and screaming. Shut up! Shut up!
Oh. Surprise. Thanks for doing this, though. Thanks for having a Wednesday.
It was Sparky's idea, and it was a great idea. Thank you, Sparky.
Thanks, Sparky.
Yeah. Thanks, Sparky. Bob, first thing this morning on it.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea. And so I'll give Shorty in L.A. the last word. We are George Floyd. We are RGB. We are John Lewis. We have to be tired of being sick and tired. The question is, what are you going to do about it before voting day? No one gets the right to put their knees on our voting ballot. No one gets to stand in front of the podium and say the flags are at half-staff for any person like RBG. Flags fly at half-staff or half-mast was to mark the ending of, in truth, it is a sign of mourning, be it national, state, or city. We need to be like John Lewis and get out there and get in trouble, good trouble, game, set, match. Well said, Shorty. So thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air, our Patreon subscribers, our PayPal subscribers. Thanks to the a la carte contributors to the program. This program would not exist without you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Tomorrow we enter anniversary month. Yes, indeed. And in 3 weeks or so, we will pass our 15th anniversary in this standalone format and move into, God, maybe, what, year 18 overall? It amazes me. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 o'clock. Be there. Best place to listen to the Malloy program is, of course, headon.live. And, feel free to enjoy it in the chat room or maybe even in the back porch. Who knows just exactly how that works. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you have to be out and about, wear your mask. They really do matter. They really do help. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Keep some hand sanitizer handy. Maintain your social distance 10 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, not the meager six, because we're learning more and more about how this godforsaken disease travels. And if somebody with a cat's ass mouth comes towards you hollering, "I'm not gay," avoid them, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.